Don and Mike Show.
Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Will you see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater. The only thing left to be radio. That's just for ugly people.
Hello.
Sean Hannity. Mike, this is the first time I've ever called you, and I'm glad to be listening to you every day right after the Don and Mike show. And
thank
I
you.
Just think that you would make a perfect guest on their show.
Tell Don and Mike, anytime they want me, I'd be glad to come. Hello.
Stay tuned for your shot at Big Bucks. Secret Sound, only on the Don and Mike show.
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Viewer discretion is advised.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe.
Stop the rock.
Woo!
Stop the
rock.
Wah, 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 wah.
Stop the rock.
Woo!
Stop the rock. Can't stop the rock. You can't stop the rock.
Don't get high. Well, thank my ass and call me Charlie. Isn't this exciting?
Don't get high!
Hey, Don, Mike, about that last comment, you're on your own.
You're all worth this and weak. Now drop and give me 20.
Don and Mike.
Or you don't know to fill a book.
The Don and Mike Show. And they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Oh, no. Get him away.
Clockwork.
A country story. He was a neo-Nazi.
Hold
with
on.
One true enemy. Himself. A man of faith. A man of hate.
Here they are.
His soul torn apart. Discretion advised.
There they are. Let's see what you take from that right into
it. Beware,
there you go. Wow. An awful lot happening there.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Cummins and Vineman and all the ships at sea. Hey, you better listen to them or they won't come to your Christmas party. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Thank you, Robbie, and hi, thank you for listening, everybody. Don and Mike Show, new episode on this Wednesday.
Wednesday!
November 20th. And here's your phone number for instant access from anywhere in America. Phone number 877-365-3636.
Well, hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
And why, hi to you, Buzz.
There.
Hey.
There you go.
What say you, Donald?
Well, we'll find out right now with today's Bill O'Reilly Thought of the Day.
Oh, good.
This is now the new way we're kicking off the show every day.
What say you, Donald?
With a thought from right there. He is the...
What say you, Donald?
Bill O'Reilly, and here's what he has to say today.
I'm going
to
be in a porno movie.
Wow, that's exciting.
The Bill O'Reilly Thought of the Day.
Oh. I'm going to be in a porno movie.
That is you know, he just keeps on giving.
And if you're counting, that is now the 10th Bill O'Reilly moment.
Beautiful. Very good.
And sometime before the holidays, we'll get some nice schmaltzy Mannheim steamroller music, and we'll do a montage.
Oh, that'd be wonderful.
A montage.
Great. I'm going to be in a porno movie.
There you go. What say you, Bill?
What say you, Donald?
Well, I say thanks. Thank you very much.
Old Bill.
Robbie, music, please. Eating music. We got to... hit this hard. We've got to hit this harp often. We've got to talk about the contest tomorrow.
Yeah, we're doing it tomorrow, so we got to get our eaters lined up today.
Yes, what we're doing is giving away a trip to Las Vegas, 5 days and six nights, airfare, hotel, and $1,000 in cash in gambling money when we play, as we wait for the CD to queue up.
Yes.
Well, it's just time... just the time that we could spend.
I'm going to be in a porno movie.
Listening to that one more time. There you go.
There's the eating music.
That's it. See, this music alone is worth the wait.
It is. I mean, this music is appropriate for what we're going to have done. And you're going to bring your Excedrin tomorrow, right?
Absolutely.
Because I always get a low-grade headache on the eating show.
I'll be ready.
Well, it's been a long time since we've done. We've done What Would You Do?
Right.
What Would You Drink?
Uh-huh. Yep.
Freak Show, Talent Show. Tomorrow it's food and foodstuffs in particular. What would you eat to win a trip to Las Vegas and $1,000 in cash?
Wonderful.
So,
now it's nothing, it can't be anything poisonous.
Yeah, and it can't be anything that comes out of your body.
So right there, you're, but other than that, be creative.
And we'd like you to call in advance and register so we know who's coming down, because not only tomorrow do we have this contest happening, and Rob has just written nudity, of course, always.
Always nudity gives you a leg up. If you eat something topless, you're going to get more points than if you eat it normally.
Because tomorrow not only do we have the eating contest, we also have the girls of the sex pillows coming in tomorrow.
That's right. That's correct.
Those are going to be jam-packed. So we've got to make sure that you guys call in now to register so we can correctly plan the flow of the show right here. And incidentally, today, ladies and gentlemen, it's going... horizontally.
That's very nice. And you have the Dayglo green colored cardboard that you're writing your show prep on.
So call now, 877-365-3636, and let us know, what would you eat for a trip to Las Vegas?
Manja.
Start calling right now, and as soon as those calls are answered by more than one person, which it appears is happening now, you will be put right on the air, and then we'll see you down here live in the studio tomorrow.
Excellent.
A couple of things, of course, in my craw before we start the show today. Things that are just pissing me off, just common everyday things. I don't know how many of you people around the country live in cities that have toll roads. Almost every major city now has a toll road,
right.
And you have either the Smart Pass or the Easy Pass.
Mm-hmm. That is where the regular commuters can just flash something and they can zip right through without having the tedious process of throwing a quarter in the machine or handing it to an attendant.
Yeah, and I've got one of these things, and I'm on the dullest toll road every day, and I've noticed this, whether it's here or in New York or Philly or in Sacramento, when we've traveled, that there are signs 2 miles before the toll booth saying Smart Pass, Easy Pass, left lanes only.
Yeah.
There's a sign at 2 miles before, there's a sign at 1 mile before, there's a sign at a half mile, and then as you're pulling up to the toll booths, it's painted in the road in front of you.
Yeah.
And there's giant signs over the two left-hand lanes, Smart Tag only. Well, invariably, and it happened again today, there's just a dumbass who's driving along and thinks for some reason it's his lucky day that there are lines 5-6 cars deep at the 5 lanes on the right, yet for some magical reason there's no cars in the 2 lanes on the left.
No waiting.
So the guy pulls up and actually sits. Now, there's not a person in the smart tag lane.
Right, it's automated.
It's a thing where it reads a sensor in your car. And
so he thinks he's going to pay a toll there or something?
Yeah, and the guy is just sitting there. Now, this is not even one of the smart tag lanes that's got that little arm that goes up and down.
And they make it pretty clear as to what lane is what.
Like I said, 2 miles in advance, the signs start. Big, gigantic signs.
Yeah.
Smart tag, easy pass, left lanes only.
Well, and there's no special lane for dumbasses.
Well, this is the lane that this guy was in today. Mm-hmm. And I can't even cut him slack to say that he's not from the D.C. metro area because he had Virginia tags on his car.
Right.
So the
Could
guy,
be Southern Virginia.
The guy's in the left-hand lane, smart tag. He's, he sees the signs. He pulls up. He gets to where the little gate area is, and there's not a gate there. There's just a light. There's a green light that says, thank you, when you drive through. Mm-hmm. And it's at that point that he arrives at this spot that he realizes, I'm in the wrong lane.
Oh, and he must be in a virtual panic.
Well, what he does is he stops. He stops his car. Now, this is not good because, you know, I'm coming up like at 35 behind him, and the guy behind me is coming up at 35. So cars are stacking up behind him. Rather than just run the goddamn thing, he puts the thing in reverse.
An honest citizen.
So now he's got his backup lights on, and he's backing up, and he's looking at me like, move back. He's giving me the arm motion.
Yeah.
Back up. Well, I put my baby in reverse, and I back up a little bit, and the guy behind me has the same look that I'm giving the guy in front of me, like, what the freak is going on here?
What the hell is going on?
And it's impossible to back up, because now there's an actual snarl of back up.
Man, you could cause a major accident.
Oh, yeah.
Of people who are trying to back up, and incidentally, there are also signs, well-posted signs, that say, no backing up.
No backing up. If you screw up, take your medicine. Go through. If you're worried about being honest, you go through and you pull over to the side.
Mm-hmm. So I lay on the horn on this guy, and the guy behind me lays on the horn, and the guy behind him lays on the horn, and it's a beautiful chorus of all of these, like you wouldn't believe, because this guy is in the left-hand lane of the smart, easy pass, and he refuses to just drive through.
Is it an old feller?
No. Young guy driving a white Honda Civic. And finally, what are you booing? Because it's
a Honda.
It could have been made in America, Rob.
I don't care. It's still a Honda.
So one by one, the cars that are behind me, they're all able to sneak out and get to the next easy pass lane.
But you're right in back of him.
I'm right in back of him, and he still hasn't moved. So finally, when there are absolutely no cars behind me, I pull to the next easy tag lane, and I roll down the window, and I give him one of these. I go, hey, friend, you got a radio? Today, 3 o'clock, turn on 106.7 FM.
And get ready to have your ass chewed.
You're a dickhead. And I'm just speaking right now to that guy.
Yeah. Right.
You're so incredibly stupid. There are signs for 2 miles that say smart tag only. And why you wanted to back up is beyond me.
The distracted Washington driver. Mm.
Just drive through the goddamn thing.
What is wrong with people?
It's a quarter. Yeah. You moron. You idiot. You imbecile.
I've been in the wrong toll lane. I've done it before. And I think many people have done it before. You go through.
Yeah.
If you've got people in back, you don't back up.
No.
You don't stop and compound it. And, once again, if you want to be honest, you can pull over to the side and you can find your way back and risk your life getting run over by cars to give somebody a quarter. I will not. I went through and continued on my way.
And then this is on top of the earlier problem that I have with people. Another problem that I had right before this, I'd gone to the gas station and done that cheapy car wash thing where they say you fill up your gas tank, you go through this awful car wash.
That's the kind where you pull into the building and put your little tire in a little slot.
Right.
And then the machine goes over you. Your car's dirtier than when you brought it in.
Here's the problem with this, and this happens all the time as well. You know, folks, we live in the 21st century. you pull the tag, your little slip out of the gas machine, mm-hmm. and it has a code, a 5-number code.
Right, right.
And all you do is pull up to the thing out front of the gas station car wash, and you punch in your 5-digit code, right, and right. then it says enter.
Yes.
Well, today, there's nobody in the car wash.
That's good, so it's just you.
No, one person sitting in front of me.
Ah.
And this one person is just looking at the thing and just has almost like a Jack Benny-like pose.
Right.
With the, and I see this with the hand on the chin and one finger going up in the air looking at this contraption.
The keypad.
You know, like he's from the 18th century. It's like the guy is obviously bowled over by this incredible advance that we've made technology-wise. How on God's earth do you figure out how to run the machine?
Now, the very first time you see one of those car washes, though, it is not the... It's a little weird. And if you don't buy gas...
Well, now the guy...
They make them a little, you know, they could be a little idiot-friendly.
The guy had... But, no, Mike, this one is really idiot-friendly. It has a giant sign that says, put your code in...
Don't you find also, though, when you're at the gas station that has the car wash, and it's usually a real convenience car wash, and you look around, and you'll see another person at the pump, and there'll be nobody up at the car wash, and you'll be kind of racing them to make sure you get in, and it's usually an elderly person.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
And they love to get their car washed every time it's sunny.
The guy in front of me today, after finally taking, you know, and I'm listening to songs, and I'm actually timing, because I got a thing in my car like most people do when you listen to a CD.
Mm-hmm.
You can push and see how long a song is. It took the guy 2 minutes and 16 seconds to punch his code in.
Wow.
So once he punched his code in, and the red light turns to green, and it says enter. Well, then we go through the thing where he drives, and he can't seem to get the car to stop on the spot where the red light goes
on. Now, there's no excuse for that. I mean, it is the biggest... It's like putting a left tire in the Grand Canyon.
All I'm doing is watching him drive in, and then it says, back up, and he backs up, and then the light says, pull forward, and he pulls forward, and the light says, please back up. Meanwhile, the big traffic light out front of the thing is going red, green, red, green, red, green. Guy just a total friggin' dope.
Wow. Is it one of those, does it have any brushes on it, or does it have the...
No, it's brush-free.
Is it just like water?
Yeah, it's just like if you...
the worst guy. It doesn't wash your car at all.
No, but at least it doesn't scratch it like the brushes.
The plastic brushes can really, really do damage.
Oh, yeah.
So that was just one on top of the other. It was the guy at the car wash you couldn't figure out, punching in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then back in the fourth and getting the car going, and then... What I'm really trying to do is I'm trying to expedite things, because when you go through these cheapo gas station car washes, they have the thing that the blower at the end.
Mm-hmm. Blower activate.
And
the dryer.
The blower, the dryer lasts approximately 14 seconds.
Yeah. And it's just an exercise. I mean, it's to make you think that your car is getting dry.
Futile.
So what I like doing is immediately getting right out of this cheap gas station, getting right on the toll road, you know, bring my speed up to 60 miles an hour. And that kind of dries the car.
So you don't get water spots.
Right. Well, the problem is, I pull out of the car wash, I get right on the toll road, no problem. Well, then I run into, the guy.
So your car's covered with water spots.
The guy who doesn't know what to do because it's easy pass. So
have you thought about buying a gun?
I think my rule to people is, learn that we're living in a semi-modern age.
Right.
It ain't that tough to punch 5 digits into the car wash thing. It's definitely not hard to drive in and make it so the car stops in the right spot.
Right.
And if you don't have an easy pass, don't get in the easy pass lane.
Wouldn't you just like to have a generic statement? Just stay out of my way.
And this didn't happen.
Stay the F out of my way.
This didn't happen to me today, but it happened a couple of days ago, and I didn't mention it, but I might as well now, because I'm just in this mood that old people should not be given ATM cards, because invariably, and it was the other day, my wife and I were at the scene of the accident at the CVS,
right?
And we're coming out of the CVS, and she says, we need to get some money. We go, okay, we go to the ATM. Standing there is a woman approximately 100 years old, and she puts the card in the slot, and she's dumbfounded about the screen that says, would you like English or Spanish?
Mm-hmm.
At that point, she's dumbfounded.
Well, if that's the point, you're not qualified to use an ATM.
And my wife walked over and...
You know how we feel about that anyway.
Yeah, right. You know,
the option.
It should just be, you know, American. You don't have a choice of speaking
Amen.
Anything else.
Right.
Just speak American.
Or tongues.
So my wife very sweetly walks up to this lady and says, oh, we've noticed that you're having a problem here. You push this one to get it in English and this one to get it in Spanish.
Mm.
And the woman says, oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Pushes the English thing and then... To get her code in, it's a 4-digit code,
right.
And everybody knows it's your birthday, or it's your kid's birthday, or it's a year that you were born, or whatever. It's a simple 4-digit code.
Could have been her age.
For some woman, it might have been in this case, Ralph, because this woman didn't get the code right.
Right.
And it eventually spit the card back out,
yeah. Oh my.
Which started the process all over again.
Sounds like she was a first timer, maybe.
And it was that wasn't today. I don't want you to think all these things happened in just one day.
But it's not just old people with the ATMs.
True.
It's any idiot.
Yeah.
You get young idiots too. You get idiots that can't handle the ATM.
You know, I just want to say to those of you listening right now, some of you obviously are ill equipped to work with these modern conveniences, the ATM,
the scanner, the sub-scanner in shopping centers.
Oh, that, forget that. The cheapy car wash that's next to the gas station,
mm-hmm.
Easy Pass. You know, if you're one of these people, take yourself out of the equation, because there are right-thinking Americans like me,
yes.
Guys who just want to go along and just, I don't want no trouble from nobody.
No.
I just want to get my car washed.
You know what you're a victim of? You are a victim of the gross overpopulation of our area.
No, it's the gross stupidity of our area.
You need to move further out. You need to have a compound where you go and you're just free of others. You need to. You sound to me like what I've experienced around here, which is just there are too many people doing everything at the same time.
Well, I would have to disagree.
But you always seem to like crowds. You seem to go where people are.
In each of these cases that I'm talking about, it was one person at the ATM.
Mm-hmm.
It was one person at the smart tag lane. It was one person, one moron at the car wash.
But imagine if like you were just on a country road all by your onesies.
You're never going to get me to live that Timothy McVeigh lifestyle that you enjoy. or who is the guy, the Unabomber? That's what the Unabomber. Ted Kaczynski's the guy I'm
thinking of. When my wife and I separated. I did move further away.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I did not move further in.
Did it help?
And I really thought for a long time there was a thought process that I was actually going to get an apartment and live even closer in,
mm-hmm.
but I wanted to be close to my children. And I also wanted to, you know, it was a very good decision because where I am is, you know, it's very peaceful and it's out in the country. And it's nice. But I still, you know, get a taste of suburbia to get to where I'm going.
Oh, it ain't like I'm living in the middle of some kind of fantastic cosmopolitan urban area.
No, you're not. But where you are... Like,
surrounded by dummies.
Your main drags around where you live are very crowded.
I'm just surrounded by idiots.
So what's the answer? Because there is no cure for idiocy, and we're surrounded by them.
There should be some type of IQ test
uh-huh.
that's given,
right.
Some kind of computer literacy test that's given before you're allowed to have an ATM, before you're allowed to work one of these car washes.
I'm going to start a service, a company, where people that work for maybe a little over minimum wage mm-hmm. that want to get into the workforce do all the BS that people just don't want to do. The day-to-day crap that everybody hates to do. They might say they like doing it, but the bottom line is that most people hate going to the ATM, hate going to the grocery store, hate going to get their car filled up with gas.
So, you know, this is where I would disagree. I enjoy it. You know, I love the grocery store. I've always loved the grocery store.
I hate it.
Always a fun experience.
How can you say
that? I got to shout out for all the guys and gals at my Safeway, especially my main man, AJ.
Mm-hmm.
He's my man at Safeway. I like that. I like
how
the fact.
How can you say you enjoy the I loathe the grocery store.
I love the trip up and down the aisle.
I can't stand it.
I'm in there with my wife sometimes. We go down the aisles. We don't even need anything. I don't mind
like going to the mall once in a while and looking at real stuff. But I mean, when you have to go through that tedious process of getting food.
See, now that's a hassle to me is going to the mall because you've got there like there's 8,000 stores. Just go to the grocery store. You get the same rush.
Yeah, but you don't get the POAs you get in the mall.
You, I guess, don't go to... to the one I go to by Route 7.
What, the grocery store?
No, the mall. I mean, go to Tyson's Corner sometime.
Really?
That ain't Hottie Central. I got news for you. There's more pigs than well, hot chicks there.
Maybe it's because I'm fresh off grocery store. My little trip.
Simba. Welcome to Tyson's Corner.
Last night I was in the grocery store.
Or the store there.
I hated it. It's such a drag to just have to get all your crap and put it in your car, and you know, it's just I hate it.
I love it.
It's like it's a necessity.
I love that. I love the fact that I know the people of the Safeway. I know the people of the CVS. I went to the CVS the other day to get these what are these muscle relaxants? Sorry that I have for my hip and.
Prescription or non-prescription?
Oh, they're prescription.
Oh,
but only but no, you don't get anything out of them.
They really?
Make you go right to sleep.
Because I would say you wouldn't care about that guy in Easy Pass if you ate enough of those.
No, they just made me go to sleep.
Right.
But anyway, I've got the meds filled, and the guy, the drug guy, he says to me, "Hey, I got something for you."
Mm.
And, you know, I'm thinking, wow, like, I'm going to get some free drugs or something.
Yeah.
And, no, but he says, "I got something for you." And he goes behind the counter and he says, "We only got one of these in. It's a 12-pack of Diet Vanilla Coke in cans."
Wow.
And that's the wonderful part about knowing people in the store. That's why I like going.
You know people in your store.
Yeah. When I go to my Safeway, my man is AJ. When AJ's there, I go over, I say, "How you doing?" We spend a few minutes together, we talk. The guy who's the manager of the Safeway, I rap with him for a while. I know all the people at my CVS. I know the people at the little Marvelous Marketplace there where you get sandwiches and junk.
Well, see, I mean, I'm talking about the rural lifestyle, and I don't know anybody that I, you know. Of course, I have to go drive far away to get to where I'm going.
But there's a lot, just a lot of stupid people out there. So
yeah.
If you're stupid, just kill yourself. I mean, that's all. That's really the only thing I can think of is just
all the stupid people.
Just kill yourself.
But you know, the ideal time for grocery shopping is when the show is over. That's when I did it last night.
Yeah, nighttime.
Nobody in there. It's great.
You ever go in a grocery store like at midnight? That's the best time.
It's phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely. It's one of the best times you can go grocery shop.
True. And a lot of times you get mistakes that they make because a lot of times they stock the stores overnight. You get a dumb guy. You get like a bag of Oreos for like 70 cents just because he put the wrong price tag on there.
You can't buy beer after midnight, though. Remember that.
You can't.
Be careful.
We have a bunch of people standing by to tell us what they would eat. And I want to make sure we get to them. Hello, Don and Mike. Hi, who is this?
Hey, Don and Mike. This is Jason. Thank you for taking my call.
Jason, thank you for waiting. I'm sorry. I'm just very mad at people today.
It's a great story. Great story, though, I tell you.
Jason, what would you eat for a trip to Las Vegas at $1,000?
Hey, I would love to come in and just eat a bunch of dirt. That's about it.
That's good.
Yeah. You bring your own dirt?
Yeah, not a problem.
Very good.
BYOD. Okay, you're in, Jason. Hold on.
Eat dirt.
Lisa will give you a time to come in. Let's go to Tommy from Philadelphia. Hey, Tommy.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Now, Tommy, you know you're going to have to make the drive or the train trip down here.
Yeah, I'll make the drive, Don. I've been down there before, buddy.
All right, my friend. What would you eat for $1,000 and a trip to Las Vegas?
Well, since I lost the last time I was down there, I'm willing to go out on a limb and have a hot dog rubbed all over Joe Archer's armpits and eat that sucker.
I like it.
Okay, hold on.
I like it.
You're the guy that came down with your ex-wife, right?
Yeah, I'm the snarly dog. Frazzle.
I'd love to see him again.
Yeah, hold on a second, Tommy.
Rub a hot dog all over Joe. And, you know, that's all over Joe's armpit. Can we put him back out? Maybe just not armpit. Maybe just all over Joe.
How about on Jay?
Hey, for a trip to Las Vegas, I don't care where he rubs it, as long as I come out a winner.
That's the answer I wanted.
How about on his genitals?
Well, as long as I come out a winner this time.
All right, man.
Well, can't guarantee that.
Hold on, Tommy. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello, who's this?
Hello?
Is this Matt?
Yeah, this is Matt.
Hi, Matt. What would you eat?
I said I'd eat 10 live goldfish.
10 live goldfish?
That's always a crowd pleaser.
Yes, and always gets all those animal rights activists up in arms.
Absolutely. Hold on a second. We'll see you tomorrow. Lisa will give you time to call in. Hi there, Don and Mike show. Is this Paul?
This is Paul.
Paul, what would you eat?
A pound of uncooked Spam covered with jalapenos and habaneros.
Wow.
Come on down.
A pound of Spam. Mmm.
Boy, that's
uncooked
good.
Uncooked Spam.
Good Spam.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, isn't Spam cooked?
Yeah,
I mean, come on, you can eat Spam out of the can.
Oh, it's got that jelly stuff.
Well, but so, you know, you got it with your hot pepper.
Will you eat the jelly?
You're in.
Oh, eat the jelly.
You're in.
All right.
Alrighty.
Hold that one right there. Yep. Right there. I'm starting to get queasy.
Hold on a second. Keep calling, and we'll do is we'll sign everybody a special time just for you to come down tomorrow, and you'll be judged by a jury of your peers.
uncooked spam.
Man, Mike. Wait. Haven't you seen those commercials where the guy's making spam burgers? Not that I could have ever imagined in my wildest dreams ever doing that.
Yeah, but spam is just cooked brown stuff. It's cooked parts.
And call my my wonderful cummy honey. Every contestant will get their own special 5-digit code tomorrow.
Very good.
We'll tell you what time, and you punch the code in, and then you come into the studio when the red light turns to green.
You'll never get here.
Hey, hi, baby.
Hi, my darling.
You know what?
What?
I just said that because it pisses you off.
I know, and I do know what.
And you know what? You've been saying it yourself.
Well, I've got a lot of bad habits from you.
My wife, she's got this thing with people speaking and saying, you know what?
Everybody says, right?
She's got a couple of things that she's really been on me for recently. One thing is answering my own questions when I'm talking to her, and I say...
Yeah, that's Bobby Knight style, though.
And I say...
That's true. That is, you've been watching too much ESPN, because all coaches love to do that.
She'll ask me how...
Play a better game.
She'll ask me how something went, and I'll be telling her, well, this guy said this, but if this happened, then I would say this, and what about if the contract runs out? Well, the answer to that is, she says, well, who asked that? And I said, well, nobody asked it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Bothers her that I ask myself questions and answer them.
I think it makes dumb guys feel smart because they know the answer, but they ask the question.
Thank you, honey. Thank you for the compliment. But this you-know-what thing is the thing that really, over the last couple of weeks, has magnified itself to where when I'm speaking to her and I'll say, do you know what? She looks at me and she says, yes.
It started over the summer. She called me on it last summer, as a matter of fact, at Ocean City.
You know what?
That's interesting.
I've caught her doing it, and now that we're bringing it to everyone's attention again, just watch TV and watch on interview shows and even on scripted shows how much people say, you know what?
True. You know what? I think that's interesting.
Right.
You know who else hates you know what? My wife, Carrie.
That's surprising because the reason I hate it is because it's a time waster in conversation.
I'm going to tell you right now, you know what?
What?
That's both of them. Well, I don't say you know what, but I'm going to tell you right now.
That's your crutch.
That's my verbal. Is that officially my verbal crutch?
Yeah, but you've worked out of it, though.
You know what? You're right.
Welcome. But you know what is not... I don't think it's a crutch. I think it's a part of the English language.
Of course it's English. You're not speaking Chinese, but it is a crutch.
Listen.
It's only not a crutch because you do it.
I do have news for you. You know what?
What?
Get ready for this.
Here we go.
It better be big after all this.
And I'm telling you this on the radio because I didn't want to tell you this.
Let me say this. Am I tired of waiting? Yes. What is the news?
All right. The news is that today...
What say you, Donald?
I actually called our attorney, Doug.
Well, I thought our marriage was getting along pretty good.
No. Think again. Why would I call the attorney?
You're going to legally change your name to my name.
No.
I can guess.
Go ahead, Mike.
You're getting a will?
We already have a will.
You're getting your ashes sprinkled at Lambeau Field.
Is it the cremation?
Yes, I swear to God.
You made the arrangements for your own cremation?
I called him up, and I said, I'd like this put in my will, please.
Hello.
And he said he would...
That's a campy idea.
He would be glad to.
That's a good thing for you chaps to do.
So,
And what happens if we just ignore your will?
Well, now you know what? He said you can't.
Well, he could be the executor.
Well, I don't know if I trust him to be the executor.
Well, if you have a legal executor, then your wishes will be... If you don't trust your family to do it. And Rob is raising his hand.
I'll be your executor.
Well, I would like to think that I could trust you, darling.
Then Rob would fight Frida over the will.
And really, you know, your mom mentioned this to me the other day as well, that when I was speaking to her at home and she was saying, you're not allowed to cremate yourself. Well, now, neither you nor your mom can tell me if I could be cremated or not. It's my decision.
You know what?
What?
You are not invited to our family plot anymore. You are disinvited, and you're not going to be on my headstone. I'm not even going to have known you. You can be blown wherever you want, and don't take that.
Oh, hey, that's an invite.
I want to be blown up in Green Bay. Anyway, I called Doug, and I said that seriously, that I've given it a lot of thought, and I really do want, when the time comes, to be cremated and have my ashes spread either at Lambeau Field or on the pier at Ocean City, and that I didn't think that you were for the idea. And he said he could draw up a document.
Hmm. Okay, well, you better find somebody to spread you, because I'm not going to Green Bay just to spread you. And as far as I'm concerned, when you die, we're divorced.
No, oh, now, you are cold.
Yeah, no.
God damn, you're cold.
If you don't want to spend eternity with me, that's the way it's going
to
be.
I'll take your ashes to Lambeau if you're looking for somebody to do that.
You know, that is so cold. That is so freaking cold that once I'm dead...
We'll make it a remote.
What does it matter?
We bought together that plot. We not only bought... you know, a place to be buried. We bought a spare place in case, you know, there were grandchildren or something. Now, you don't want to be there. That's fine.
How about it?
I will save room for my next husband.
I don't know why this is, you know, and I swear to God, everybody, I'm not doing this as a bit. I swear to God, I'm not doing this as a bit, as a time filler, as a way to make everybody laugh.
You don't want to spend eternity with the family?
I think I will spend eternity with the family, even if my ashes are spread at a football stadium or over the Atlantic Ocean.
A lot of people find comfort, and I have had comfort in going to see, you know, where family members are buried, and that's why you have a family.
But, honey, at some point, when you're going to visit the person who's buried, if you stop to think about it, all that's really left is decaying, rotting bone. That's all that's left. And eventually, over centuries, over tens of 20s, of 50s, of hundreds of years, eventually it all turns into dust anyway. As Kansas sang, all we are is dust in the wind.
Man, you are a man. Man, you are destined into dust, you shall return.
Mm-hmm. I told you my wishes. You are ignoring them. We know that I'm going to live many, many, many more years than you are.
No, you're not.
And I will probably, I mean, realistically, as much as I love you and I'll have pictures of you all around and I have your name tattooed on my rear end, I'll probably have another husband. I mean, when you get down to it.
So, man, what a cold bitch you are sometimes.
And so it will make it much less confusing.
Does everybody see what I mean about when I argue with my wife, even in something like this, that she immediately, this is the problem with arguing with my wife, she immediately goes right for the body blow. Mm-hmm. I mean, immediately.
You mean the other husband?
I said you will be the love of my life. You will be the man.
But you're saying,
I'll have someone else to keep my bed warm.
You're saying if I'm hit by a bus tonight.
Younger man?
Oh, yeah.
If I'm hit by a bus.
An athlete. Good kid.
Hold on. If I'm hit by a bus tonight.
But not the dumb kind of athlete.
Hold on. If I'm hit by a bus tonight, you know what?
I'm getting excited now. I'm planning. Wait a minute. My mind is going to my next husband. Okay, go ahead.
Well, I hope your next husband can afford that condo you're decorating right now.
Well, yeah, you're insured, baby doll.
Oh, man.
I ain't that insured.
We'll be living the high life.
Wow.
Okay.
You and Doug can be in Green Bay, Wisconsin. All right.
She will always beat you.
Listen to this.
I'll light a candle in church for you.
Now, are you serious about this, or are you just goofing to be on the radio?
What did I tell you in person? It wasn't happening. And if you make it happen, then, you know, as they say, you make your bed, you lie in it.
But as
she wants you to be with her.
But I will be with you forever. And really, doesn't the vow say, till death do us part?
No, you will be, yeah, hey there, in out of sight, out of mind.
Wow, I can't believe this. I'm going to be, until past, I'm sorry for myself, what I'm going to do with my body when I'm dead. You're an incredible woman. Hello? Shani?
She's gone. I think I hear her faintly.
Are you there? Yeah, I'll call you back. Hold on. Well, what happened? Oh, I know what happened. Jesus Christ. They deleted it out because I said the word pee-whipped.
Really?
Yeah, the phones. Look at Robbie. See,
and everybody hit the
screen. You can't say pee whipped. You can't say pussy willow.
And in order to lose the phone line, like everybody had to lay on the switch, right?
You know, those are the.
Like, that's going to lose us.
We've had other ones that are so much worse when nobody lays on the switch.
Right.
Jesus.
Hello?
You know, I'm sorry. I said I'm going to be pee-whipped until my grave. Well, I made the mistake of saying the word, and everybody in the building apparently hit the delay button at the same time.
Oh.
Because for some reason, I guess you could say pussy willows, or I can say that Diego is a real pussy,
uh-huh.
But I can't say that word and say that I'm whipped by it.
You're right. Boy.
Yeah. Somebody explain that to me.
I don't get that. That one I think you could make a case for. You can make a real strong case for that one.
Good
anyway.
Luck.
I think you can actually argue that before
and
standards
here,
and practices.
What, Lisa?
You can call somebody a pussy, but you can't refer to the body part.
Jesus, that's ridiculous.
But it's not necessarily referring to the body part, right?
But I can say, yeah, I can say, you're a dick, but I can't say you have...
Yeah, but see, I think that
yeah,
pee-whip...
Yeah, I don't literally have a whip in my private part.
Right.
So
you're
not
and
literally
I think,
talking about the... Right.
And I think when you say pee-whipped, it means that you're a pussy.
It's a euphemism.
And that's why you are whipped.
Like, right.
Okay.
I mean,
yeah.
You could make a case for that.
Well, you could make a case for it. You're right.
Right.
And I will find out the exact ruling on that.
Let's order a case.
No. Because there's really no whip down there, I promise.
Suffice it to say, Mike just put it the absolute way that the censors won't have a problem with.
Absolutely.
I am a pussy because I am whipped by you. And if it's really going to be a major, major problem, then I won't do it. But I really want to do it.
No problem. Do whatever makes you happy. You are your own boss. I told you my wishes, and the decision, of course, ultimately rests with you.
All right, thank you. I know what that means.
Yeah.
Never mind. I know what it means. Thanks.
All right. I'm sorry I love you so much. I'm sorry I love you this life and beyond.
You two are too young to be preoccupied with death.
Mike, it's just the whole discussion about the cremation thing got me going.
I understand.
And I really called Doug today, and something I'm going to have to call him back now and say, I'm sorry, I'm a pussy and I'm whipped.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry you don't mean less to me. I'll work on that.
You're sorry that what?
I'm sorry you don't mean less to me, and I'll try and adjust that attitude.
Okay, well, I'm sorry that you don't see the big picture, that it really doesn't matter if my body is physically in a grave or if my ashes are spread somewhere. I'm sorry that you don't see that.
No, then why do you care?
This is why I never win an argument with her.
No, you can't.
Well,
you know what?
You just talked yourself out of it. Why do you care? I'll tell you, exactly why I care, and I do know what. But I'll tell you exactly why I care, so that if we have great-grandchildren, they can come and see, you know, we're great-grandma and great-grandpa are buried together.
Okay.
I think that's nice.
But
if it doesn't matter, if you're saying it doesn't matter, then why do you care about being on Lambeau Field?
You know what?
What?
She makes a great argument for being buried. Because I just thought about when I went over to Ireland and I saw my great-great-grandfather's grave.
Yeah?
I mean, if
he was
scattered...
But how do you know he's there?
What's that?
How do you know he's there?
I don't, but he's got a tombstone with his name on it.
Yeah.
I mean, and that I like. That I dig.
And I don't not want to have a tombstone with my name on it next to my wife.
You have just finished telling me what's different. So I'm saying to you, what's different? Make it easy. Save us the airfare. Save us the lawyer fee.
Hey, hey, how would you feel about this? Can we compromise? Like maybe just a hand? Now they're going to delete that out.
They're
going to
delete that too.
They're going to delete that out. You bad lady. She just said they should put my penis, that they could cut my penis off, but she used a bad word for penis.
Yeah.
Wow.
I spelled it. Doesn't it count if you spell it?
Where do you want that? Do you want that on Lambeau Field or in the grave?
No, I'll have my back pocket until I die.
As always. All right, goodbye, darling. Love you.
Goodbye. Yeah. Goodbye. I love you, too. I love you too much.
I know.
Bye.
Goodbye. Yeah. I'm not doing a bit. I really want that.
I
really know
it's
that.
It's not anything you have to worry about anytime soon.
Yeah, Thanksgiving's next week. You know, the clan, and I'm not talking about Rob's clan.
Are you going to die on Thanksgiving?
No, I'm talking about it's going to be a major family discussion
next
week because, you know, they're all obsessed with death, and they're all obsessed with this goddamn family plot that they have.
Don't you be coming down to Playland in a bad mood.
Don't you worry. That's Mike, I am so glad we're going to Atlantic City.
It's
going to
be fun.
I'm so glad.
I'm going to warm those tables up for you.
And Rob, I know we're up on a break. We're going to do this in less than a minute. We're going to find out who all these people are and what they would eat. Hi, Tommy, what would you eat for a trip to Vegas and $1,000?
Don and Mike, Radio Gods.
Hi.
You know what?
What?
When you put the tarp out, whatever hits the floor, I'll scoop it up, put it in a cup, chug it back.
You'll eat the leavens?
The leavens.
I think that's okay, but he can't eat anybody's, like, vomito.
Right.
Right.
But we'll portion that off.
All right. Hold on a second. That's a fair request to eat the leavens.
Yeah, we'll ask people to be a little sloppy.
Hi, Don and Mike. Lee, what would you eat for a trip to Las Vegas at $1,000?
Guys, I will eat a large-sized jar, an economy-sized jar of Miracle Whip.
A whole jar of mayonnaise?
Well, Miracle Whip specifically,
Miracle Whip's fine. All right. Accept that.
You're in. Hold on a second. Hi, Don and Mike. Perry.
Yes.
Perry from New Jersey. Perry, what would you eat for $1,000 and a trip to Vegas?
Animal brains.
Yes.
Ow.
There you go.
What kind of animal brains?
Whatever.
You bring your own brains?
Absolutely.
Very good.
And I'll bring some from the supermarket, too.
There you go.
Yeah, good. Hey, Perry, that's outstanding.
From the supermarket.
Hold on a second. Sign him up. Don and Mike, hi, what would you eat? Nick.
Yes, hi. I will eat 10 earthworms.
I was hoping we'd get a worm eater.
Yeah, we always like the worm.
Fantastic. 10 earthworms.
And let's see, Dave. Dave, what would you eat?
Buddies, how you doing?
Hi.
I'd eat a PB&J mayo mustard squid pickle sandwich. And if any came out, I'd eat that too.
All right, well, guys, I got a thing about you eating your own vomit.
You can't eat your own vomit, but what is the sandwich again?
It's the PB&J mustard mayo squid pickle sandwich.
Yeah.
You're in.
Squid kicks it over the top.
You're in. Make sure you give each of these people a time to come in tomorrow. Our lines will be open throughout the show.
Yes,
Lisa, hi.
I'm sorry to hear that you're pussy whipped.
Oh, we can say that.
Pussy whipped. Yes, you're pussy whipped. You can be pussy whipped.
Good.
Thank you.
Good. Fantastic. Sure.
Why was there a mass pressing of the button?
I dumped it because I thought that it was referring to...
Well, but I think it's an expression.
Yeah,
it's
right.
I can say it loudly. Robbie, give me some reverb, please. I'm pussy whipped. I can't even decide about my life after I'm dead because I'm pussy whipped.
We took care of that.
Okay, you know what? That's cool, pussy whipped.
And I am no longer pussy whipped.
I live.
Okay.
I live alone.
Oh, well, did you want that on?
I.
Robbie, turn it back on.
I live by myself. Thank you.
Clear the lines out. We'll get back to these what would you eat calls. Now we need a call 100 for the brand new secret sound.
Oh, right.
877-365-3636. That's the number. Call 100, yes. And as always, would you like a preview of the sound?
Yes, I would, please.
And here it is.
Should I give you my idea of what it's going to sound like?
Yes.
All right, it's going to sound like this.
So you think it'll be a ding, ding, ding.
No, it'll sound. Ding, ding. That's what it'll sound like.
Okay, here it is. Decide for yourself.
Click. That's not it.
Yes, it is. You want to hear it again?
Click, click, click. Rob, you boys.
You want to hear it again?
Yeah, why not? Click, 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 click.
Changing. I keep playing it for you.
Click, click. Click, click.
You guys
fight me with my own medicine there.
Be the 100th caller.
Click, click, click.
And you have a shot at winning $500.
Click.
We'll really play the real sound. We'll come right back.
And wow.
This thing again.
God,
it's that,
damn it.
That machine
only
again.
It would click.
It's that machine number two.
Yeah.
Give it a good
click. Click, click, click. Oh, man.
How dumb is this show? Just put a new one in there, Rob.
Grandma.
Just trash that one.
Click,
Click, click, click.
There you go. Click, click.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You lost again. It's not fair. You're bigger than I am. It's not fair, Witch Wife.
Ah, but nobody ever said life was fair, Dina. I'm bigger and I'm faster. I will always beat you.
Then I'm not going to play with you anymore. Ever.
The Don and Mike Show.
That's me and Frida.
Only one song could topple this from the top spot in your top seven most requested. All be revealed in just a second. Eminem at two.
Yo, this is Slim Shady. You're listening to Music Response.
Yo.
Have you ever been hated or discriminated against? I have. I've been protesting, demonstrated against. Look at the signs. Come on, put your
time.
Look at the
signs.
Think it's the mind.
It's not the only way I can stand Eminem when I put this music behind him.
Operating under the Jolly Directive, the Don and Mike Show.
God knows we're trying.
Yes, we are.
You know, being as pussy with it all. Just going to say it after we can.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we should have been able to say it all along.
Yeah, agreed. Don and Mike Show, call 100 time. Hello.
Hello, call 100.
Yeah, it's you, and what's your name?
Brian.
Brian, where are you from?
Baker Fit, California.
Brian, you won the Blockbuster Prize Pack with a DVD copy of Spirit, and available now on DVD and VHS at your neighborhood Blockbuster.
Fantastic.
Brand new sound, and really, no kidding, we give you a free listen. Here it is. You're not on the clock. Here it is, the new secret sound.
Click, click.
No. No. Stop it now. Here it is, really.
Click, click, click.
Now, here it is, and this one is on me. That is the sound. A common, everyday sound. Identify it, and that now we'll start the game for real. Here we go.
Caller, name this sound.
That, in fact, is the sound.
Click.
You guess you might have a sing like?
I got time. 15 seconds, don't answer until Mike sings like.
Run DMC.
This speech is my recital. I think it's very vital. To rock a rhyme that's right on time. It's tricky, tricky, trick. Here we go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Old school.
Old school, my friends.
It's tricky. It's clicky.
Click.
Click, 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 click. For $500, what is that sound?
Is it a printer ejecting a...
Oh, we're sorry.
Oh, sorry about that. Had to cut you right off in midstream. No, thanks. And don't forget that every guest...
It's a clue for you.
It's a clue for you. As I look at the list of contestants now for What Would You Eat...
Well-rounded group, isn't it?
Yeah, now, who knows? People always call and say they'll show up, and then, you know, they don't. So we'll continue to leave the lines open at 877-365-3636.
Very good.
You got to come down here to Don and Mike World Headquarters, radio station WJFK. Tomorrow we'll give you a specific time to show up. Thus far, the following people have promised to show up. Bill says he'll eat his toenails.
Good.
Jay says he will eat his ass lint, his dingleberries. If you Jason says he'll eat dirt. Paul will eat Spam with peppers. Tommy will eat the armpit hot dog, the... Joe Ardinger will put a hot dog under his
armpits. Just kind of wail around on it.
Matt's going to eat 10 goldfish. Lee's going to eat a big jar of Miracle Whip. Tommy will eat whatever is left on the floor after everybody else goes. Perry is going to eat animal brains. Nick says he'll eat earthworms. And Dave will eat the PB&J... Mayo mustard squid sandwich.
Very good.
If you think you've got something and you want to participate in the contest, call us right now on the toll-free line, and we'll put you on the air. Oh, this might be someone now. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello.
Hi, are you calling for the contest?
Correct.
And what's your name?
Will, from Philly.
Will, what would you eat?
2 pounds of cold cream corn with maggots.
2 pounds of what?
Cold cream corn with maggots in it.
Cold creamed corn with maggots.
There's maggots.
Okay. Wow.
I can tell you right now, if you do that, you're probably guaranteed to be the winner.
Wow.
That's what I'm looking for.
All right, we'll see you tomorrow. Wow.
Man, oh, man.
Hold on a second.
Maggot. That's
give,
a gambler.
Give that man a reservation.
Ask him where he gets his maggots.
Hey, hi, listen, Mike wants to know where you get your maggots.
Where do you get your maggots?
The pet store.
Wow. Wow. Wowzy woo woo.
We have so many maggots on the line.
Oh, maggot.
Hello? Thanks. Oh, hold on. Don and Mike, hi.
Hello?
Who's this?
This is Mike.
Mike, what would you eat?
Some roofing tar.
Roofing tar?
Sure.
Wow, now that's out of left field.
That's pretty intense.
Maybe some hot roofing tar.
Wow.
Could that F up your system?
No, no. It's petroleum based. Get right on through.
Okay. Well, we'll have to check that one, but right now you're in.
All right.
Yeah, hold on.
Roofing tar might be poisonous.
Roofing tar.
Yeah. Don't know where he came up with it. You know, and normally when people call in with something, they've eaten it before.
Well, he seems to know he had that right away. That it's petroleum-based.
Yeah, and we all know that anything petroleum isn't toxic.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, I eat rattlesnake.
You'll eat what?
Rattlesnake.
Rattlesnake. Now you got to supply your own rattlesnake.
Probably I'll get it from Dominique's.
Dominique's. Rattlesnake from Dominique's.
Raw
Dominique's.
Or cooked?
Cooked.
All right, what's your name, honey?
Alex.
Alex, hold on, please.
I'd try that, too.
Yeah, cooked, sure.
And Alex, you're our first female contestant, so let me remind you, extra points if you eat a snake topless. All right, just something to think about, Alex.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
All right, hold on a second.
Eat a snake topless.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
That works, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Here we go. I'm going to be eating mushrooms all day today. I'm going to come into your studio, take a BM, clean the mushroom off, and digest.
Now, we couldn't physically... And I don't want to see you take a BM. However,
no, you can get a father in the bathroom.
I think that this could work. This would be an excellent job for Diego, our new intern, to make sure that you actually it actually comes out of you. And then I say you can wash it off.
You can wash it off.
You can wash it off on the sink.
Yeah.
Because the rules are you can't eat anything that comes out of your body. Like you really couldn't eat BM. But.
Yeah.
If you ate mushroom and a whole mushroom came out, and it came out in your BM, and then you washed it off and ate it, yeah, you're eligible.
Cool.
Absolutely.
How do I do this?
Hold on a second. We'll give you time. Why are you looking at me in that tone of voice?
I don't know.
It's pretty gross.
Yeah.
Hello.
It's turbo gross.
A little, yeah.
Don and Mike, hello.
Hello.
It's ratings dynamite. That's what it is. Man will eat a mushroom that comes out of his BM. Hello, Don and Mike. Who's this?
This is Ricky.
Hi, Ricky. What would you eat?
I eat a live crab.
A live crab.
Oh.
A Chesapeake Bay blue crab.
Wow. Now, are you serious? Or are you one of our gag callers?
No, sir. I'm serious.
Have you done it before, Ricky?
Yeah, we eat it in Virginia all the time.
There you go. All right. I like that.
Hold on there, Richard. Wow, they're coming out of the woodwork.
They are, really. It's shaped
well,
like quite a contest.
No, it's a great prize.
Yeah, it is.
In Vegas and $1,000. Hello, right. Don and Mike Show.
Hello, Don and Mike. How you guys doing?
Hi, we're doing great. Who's this?
My name is Johnny. I'm in Woodbridge.
Johnny, what would you eat for the trip to Vegas and $1,000?
I got the best one of all. I got a $5 horse punani.
A what?
A $5 horse punani.
Well, what are you talking about? Please
explain.
Stop jiving around. What are you talking about?
Well,
you don't know, Dad.
Up the street, I'll get me a $5 horn, get her the ear punani.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Please, God, please take him now. All right. Okay, so I think we did have some legitimate guys there.
No, right, absolutely.
Alex wants to say that. Yes, Alex.
I'm here.
Alex, why did they put you back on hold?
Oh, I want to ask you something. You were joking. I'm not going to do it topless, though.
Are you?
I'll just do it like with clothes and eat.
I'm glad they put you on hold so you can come back and tell us that.
You don't have to do it topless. It's just a way of getting extra bonus points. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Don and Mike, hi. Who's this?
Where's your craft attack today?
Make a note, that was at 4:08. Made it through an hour and 8 minutes on the show.
That's me.
Oh, that was you?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, that gets through a lot.
What's your catchphrase?
Pussy whipped.
Okay.
Very good. Thank you, Herndon.
Okay. Peace out, Lord.
Source out.
Check ya.
Hello. Don and Mike, who's this? Hello? Are you there?
And speak to us.
All right, we lost another contestant.
But we got some good ones. I mean, if any of those guys show up, I mean, there's some good stuff in there.
They're coming fast. They're coming furious. Keep the calls coming. 24. Everybody watched 24 last night?
I did indeed.
Yeah. You know, the thing that's killing 24 is I hope that Fox stays with it, because I know that, for instance, in my house last night, I'm trying to get my wife to watch 24, and Frasier's on at the same time, and as if we all...
Frasier's still on the air?
Yeah. As if we didn't know that Frasier's been on way too long.
Oh, my God, ridiculous.
The plot line that my wife hits me to last night is, and it's so sad that a show maybe at one time that was funny has to go down this road.
Yeah, it was funny for a couple of seasons.
It was, and they didn't call it this, but it was a very special Frasier,
mm-hmm.
because Niles has heart surgery.
Hey.
Oh, God.
You know,
I mean, come on.
When they've run out,
Frasier!
Totally run out of ideas, you got to have, like, one of them close to dying. And then,
sensitive Frasier.
And it's you. You see Kelsey Grammer, you know, going, you're my brother and I love you. And I'm thinking all across America, there are idiots that are watching this because it's a very special Frasier. When, meanwhile, if you just turned on Fox, the best show on network television, the best
going
drama.
Away. No, absolutely, you know, going away.
I'd say even better than CSI.
It's amazingly well done.
24, every week, it's like a movie.
Yes. And it's better than a movie. I mean, it is so well crafted, and it is so put together. I was watching it last night, and when they do the rejoiners, where they do the different boxes of things happening simultaneously, it takes a tremendous amount of effort on the part of the production people to do that well.
That's why I'm glad I have TiVo, because at the end of the show, I actually had to rewind it and stop it on each of the boxes.
Right, right.
Because my mind didn't work fast enough.
Yeah,
because
it's so quick.
To say that, okay, there's Roseanne's daughter, the guy who got radiation poisoning
right.
is going to make her wake up.
They always seem to get that little hottie in there, too.
Yeah.
Every time she's in one of the boxes.
Thank goodness.
She works her way in, but if you don't watch 24, it's too detailed to get into everything that's happening and the plot line. But I about fell out of my chair when Kiefer Sutherland looked at that picture, and it's that broad that killed his wife.
Yeah, and you guys brought me up to speed on that because I didn't watch it last year.
That was an incredible plot twist. I never would have thought.
And then the previews of the coming attractions are going to drag her in next week.
Wow, fantastic. Anyway, 24, really, really great. And I wish...
Great casting, too.
We had Kiefer Sutherland on last year before the show went on the air. And he was a nice, funny guy.
Mm-hmm.
But, boy, I'd love to get him on now to say, you know, we watched the show and, Jesus Christ, we're addicted to it.
Oh, and I'd love to ask him so many questions about how that show is shot, because it is so well done and it's so mapped out. It would seem to me that the production schedule and the way they shoot that show, they gotta have it all together before they start filming, because that there's so much going on that has to be synchronized.
And he must, Kiefer Sutherland, I know he's like the executive producer, he must have a lot of producing, he must do a lot of off-camera stuff, because I've seen him as an actor, and he's not bad, but he has two speeds on 24. Either he's laughing and joking around, or he's out of his mind screaming at somebody.
Mm-hmm.
It's either he's hanging around with the bad guys and pretending...
When's he laughing and joking around?
When he was hanging around with the guys last week when they were planning to blow up the building.
Right. Oh, you mean when he's like being lighthearted?
Yeah,
stuff
right.
Like that.
So he's either like... I mean, he's not laughing, physically laughing, but
right.
he's either very mellow or he's absolutely over the top screaming. And even last night...
Drop the gun!
Yeah, and last night we were on the phone with the...
Tell me!
With the girl about, you know, you didn't tell the president, and now 28 people have died because of you.
Yeah. How many people got blamed for the death of those people, too? And everybody got the same thing. Those people are dead because of you. Those people are dead because of you.
It's really...
Those people are dead because of you.
It's, don't you think it's the fault of the guy that got fired last night?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, sure. All the way.
Yeah.
You know, what I also find is the urgency of that show speaks to the world we live in now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I find it much more riveting because of everything that everybody's been through. It is much more real, much more scary, and you're you really watch it. I think you watch it with such rapt attention because you know that these people that, that do this kind of stuff are out there and they're doing that kind of stuff right now.
I wish that Fox would present it like they did the season opener. I think it would be so much cooler if you just had like 5 minutes of commercials at the beginning.
Right.
And then you ran the whole show with no breaks.
I totally agree with that.
But, you know, no one would stay and watch the commercials.
Yeah, and, you know, the thing about TiVo is when I... last night was one of the few times I've seen it when I haven't TiVo'd it, and it was... you know, the great thing about not watching it with commercials,
yeah, you
get right
flip
to
ahead.
It. But even that show, it's just, it's so riveting. You just, it flies. The commercials fly.
I mean, I hate being interrupted during The Sopranos, during 24, and to a lesser extent, CSI. Oh, and boy, my wife, I stepped in it last night. You know, she accuses me of not listening all the time.
Right.
And not paying attention. And last night, she was at her art class, one of the many distractions that my wife has in her life. And I was intently watching 24. And even though I've got the TiVo thing that I can pause it,
yeah,
I'm so into it, I don't want to pause it.
Right.
So like, I go to the phone, I pick up, and I go, hello, and it's the neighbor who had borrowed our pickup truck for some reason. And all I heard her say was, I parked the car back in your driveway because it was before you got home from work and Bart wasn't home and the keys are underneath the seat. And I said, great, thank you, goodbye, click, and got back to my TV. Well, later, Frida says to me, did the lady at the street call about the truck? The truck's back, but I don't know where the keys are. I said, yeah, they're under the seat. So she goes out and my wife is tearing through this car. She comes out, she goes, exactly where did Cecily say the keys were? I said, Christ, under the seat. I'm positive. I'm absolutely positive. She says, when did she call? I said, I don't know, about 9:15. I was watching 24. I really didn't want to be interrupted. She said, are you positive? I said, yes, 100% guaranteed under the seat.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this morning my wife calls this lady up, and the lady says, no, I specifically told him that out on our front porch, we have two chairs, and my wife and I can sit on the front porch, and I can smoke a cigar, and she can read the newspaper. We have our coffee out there when it's warm. Apparently, that's where the key was, underneath the seat cushion in one of the seats on our front porch. Not under that seat. Not underneath the front seat of the car.
So you were just another, and that probably,
not listening,
probably contributed to your the whole plot thing, you know, as far as, you know, maybe if you'd known where the keys were, you'd be able to be scattered on Lambeau Field.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be that big a problem.
Because I had no response. He said, you weren't listening. And I said, no, I wasn't. But I said, Cecily was calling during 24.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then I'm trying to make the argument.
I actually enjoyed the commercials during 24 last night because I was making Hamburger Helper.
Oh. You know, we got to get some kind of sad music for you.
No, I'm making food in advance of my children staying with me this weekend. I'm actually loading up so that when it's dinner time, I'm just going to pop something in the microwave. And I went to Costco and I bought all this ground beef. Mm-hmm. And now, Rob, what? You don't have to play sad music. Okay. This is what I did. Now, normally, on a Tuesday or Wednesday night, like tonight, I will go out with friends and I will be okay. But last night, I was in my home, alone, browning burger.
When I was young.
And I
know a lot of times when I've talked to you,
yes,
a lot of times you'll say to me, do you hear that? That's the sound of me alone in my house. I'm going to be making some food now to eat.
By myself.
By myself. You do say that to me.
I do, because it's the truth. Many of my meals, I don't have people over for meals. If I'm going to get together with anyone, I get together with people outside of the home.
Yeah.
So, thusly, when my children are not there, I will cook and I will eat with them when they're there. But when I am, like, making a meal for myself...
It wasn't really a sad time last night when you were making Hamburger Helper.
Actually, I was blissfully alone. But I was alone. I was by myself, absolutely as content as I can be by myself. Because I was cooking... I'd gone to the grocery store, I bought this slab of ground beef at Costco, which has the best ground beef, and it was 6 pounds of it. And so I actually froze it, took it out of the freezer, and put it out when I left yesterday, so that by the time I got home, it was almost totally thawed out. And
isn't it rich?
I was not sad.
Are we a pair?
I was very happy.
Me here at last on the ground. And you in.
There I am, yesterday, preparing for my children.
I gotcha.
Which I'm going to have a great weekend with my kids this weekend. I was very, very happy. And I was cooking. For the kids. And, of course, made a little dirty rice. You know that wonderful stuff you make? Yeah, you like that?
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Dirty rice. Made a little of that. And then this morning when I got up, I made a hamburger helper stroganoff. Of course, I make that almost every morning.
Right.
Yeah, so, you know, you got to come over. I got plenty of food in the house.
You can say baiting. What do you call a cow baiting? Beef stroganoff. I forgot.
I
can't say that. Boiler. Pussy whipped by our standards, people. Well, this will do for the eating music. I got the wrong cut going, but it's the same thing. More people online here to tell us what they will eat tomorrow for the trip to Las Vegas at $1,000. Hi, Brandon.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hi, what would you eat for a trip to Las Vegas at $1,000?
I would eat a large pizza, the box, and the pizza would be sprinkled with hair from down there.
You'll eat a pizza with your pubic hair on it.
What you just said, you'll eat a large pizza, the box. What are you saying?
Yeah, the pizza with the hair on top of the pizza, and then I'll eat the box.
And he'll eat the box. Wow.
You just to wash it down.
Sign him up.
Very good.
Sign him up.
That's a good thing.
Hello, great. Don and Mike. Bob.
Yes.
Bob, what would you eat for a trip to Vegas?
It's called balut.
What is that?
It's from the Philippines. They take a chicken egg and they'll ferment it in sand.
Ooh.
And then after you take it out and everything, then it's just like a hard-boiled egg. It still has the white in it. So when you crack it, the juice comes out. You suck the juice, and then once you peel it, the baby bird is inside of it.
So you're going to eat an egg with a baby bird inside.
It's called balut.
And it's a delicacy over there?
Yes.
Wow.
You're in. Hold on a second. It sounded gross.
Yeah, it's a long way to go with that.
Took him a while to get there.
That storytelling ability he had.
Hi, Don and Mike. Who is this?
Don and Mike, how you doing?
I. What's your name, my friend?
Hagen.
Hagen
from Philly.
Hagen from Philly. What would you eat?
I'll eat a pound of cat food.
That's a winner every time.
It may contend if the guy fails to eat the pizza box.
Let me tell you something. As somebody who has paid a bet off by eating like a tablespoon of
cat food.
A pound of cat food is
incredible.
Absolutely amazing.
Wet or dry cat food, sir?
Oh, hold on. Yeah, that's a good question. Wet or dry?
Wet.
Attaboy.
There you go.
I have cats.
I've never had a problem with edible things.
Wet cat food is the most disgusting substance on the face of the earth.
Couldn't agree with you more.
Oh, my God.
Hold on a second.
Sticks to everything.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, what's up?
Hi, Mike.
Yeah, what's happening?
Hi, what would you eat?
I would eat a virtual pet store feeder frenzy. Mealworms, crickets, goldfish, whatever they have that they feed to other animals.
Well, I know this guy, in essence, what you're saying is you go to the pet store, you get whatever food they have for animals, and you'd make that like in a salad?
I would get, you know, romaine, a little bit of tomato, you know, a little bit of Greek olive, whatever it takes.
Very good. Okay, you're in. Hold on just a second, and we'll take one more, and then maybe we're going to have to shut this thing down.
I mean, we've got tons of them already.
You know, even if half these people show up, that
right.
show right there.
Absolutely.
Hey, Raul.
Yes, hi, Dan and Mike.
Hi, Raul. What would you eat for a trip to Las Vegas at $1,000?
I'll eat a fish head and eye.
A fish head and eye.
What a fitting end to the contest.
Hold on.
Right,
you're in, Raul. I should mention to everybody that the trip to Las Vegas, courtesy of Verimax, and it's a good one, too. 5 nights, 6 days in Vegas, courtesy of Verimax. Verimax Sexual Enhancer. Have great sex more often with Verimax. Available at finer health food stores, pharmacies, and retailers everywhere. Or call 1-888-TRI-VMAX. And you get $1,000 to gamble with. So, I mean, it's the total package.
It's a great, great, great vacation.
As Carson Daly would say, it's the hookup.
It's wonderful.
You know, you got your airfare, you got your hotel, you got a week. And you got $1,000.
I don't know which kind of makes me queasier, the fact that the guy's going to eat all that stuff that they mentioned, or the fact that you're quoting Carson Daly on the show. Both of them make me just a little woozy. A little woozy.
Woozy. Right, let me check back there in the producer's compound. We might have to cut the competition off right now if we have a pretty good feeling.
Yeah, we've got, I'm sorry, am I supposed to say my catchphrase? Can I come up with a better catchphrase first?
No, I like your catchphrase.
Pussy whip.
Oh, right. What's that?
No, just for the contestants, let me see how many we have. We've got an S-load.
That's a lot.
Yeah, can you believe it? 16, 17, 18, 19, 20.
Ooh.
We've got 20 right now.
If they all showed up, that would be the whole show.
Right, and we've got the people with the sex pillows tomorrow and Mr. Skin tomorrow.
Oh, my gosh, we're crazy. Pick up line 6. I think you'll really like this one.
Line 6? All right, this has to be the last person, though.
Okay, you got it.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
Source out.
Coming out. Bye. Peace.
Another eater.
Okay, last person. Hi, Don, Mike, who is this?
Hey, this is Chrissy.
Chrissy, what would you eat?
A hot dog out of my best friend's stinky poon.
Wow.
Come on down.
Okay.
Yeah, you know what? Down. That's kind of like a palate cleanser.
Yeah.
Click, click, click.
Yeah. Wow. A hot dog out of your best friend's stinky poon.
Yeah.
And what's going to be your state of dress?
My state of dress?
Yeah.
However you'd like me, baby.
I'd be naked, baby.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
Click. Click, click, click. Yeah. Right, 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 right. You're in. Hold on a second. And that's where we are going to stop. Right there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we're going to get better than that. And God knows, even if half those people show up tomorrow, we're going to have a real great freak show tomorrow.
Will that be a microwave hot dog?
So, if you're in, listen, don't stand us up. Because with this amount of people, we'll start this right at 3 o'clock tomorrow.
Yeah, amen. It'll be fantastic.
I mean, because tomorrow will be absolutely...
That would be with the eye.
Absolutely jam-packed. There you go, Robbie, if you'll pass that back and...
run that right over.
I'll take this moment to remind Lisa and Joe and Diego to call these people. And if you're in this contest... Understand, don't be pissed if they call you all the time to make sure you're showing up.
Yeah. Yes, we have to do that. We have to hit you over the head to make sure you get here on time. A lot of people call these contests and forget very important details like what day it is.
Yeah, so, you know, that's me. Because I call her and I said, did you call the people? Did you call the people? Did you call the people? Because it always sounds great the day before.
Right.
And I just want to make sure one time that we do one of these contests that it would be so fantastic if all 20 people showed up.
I'm optimistic, and I'll tell you why. I'm always optimistic when we have a fantastic prize.
Yeah.
And that is a killer prize.
Yeah. Vegas and $1,000
for a week.
Hell, you and I are excited about going to Atlantic City in 2 weeks.
Well, we're pathetic.
Yeah, I know we are. Anyway, thank you everybody for calling with that. Oh, got a break. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The important thing here is a fucking bunch of motherfuckers we don't even know calling us assholes on the internet to teenagers and guys who can't even get laid. Putting a stop to that is the most important thing we could ever do.
The Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Damn straight.
The Grand Marshals of the Retard Parade, Don Geronimo and Michael Maron.
Now I have to let you go.
What's Bill O'Reilly got to say today?
I have to let you go.
No, here he is.
I'm going to be in a porno movie.
There he is.
You
would have to say.
That is the Bill O'Reilly thought for the day. Hi, Don, on my show.
Hi there.
Hi there.
I just called to see if you guys watched Larry King last night.
No, yesterday was his birthday, and we never got to our Larry King tribute show.
Oh, that's a shame.
What did he do?
Last night was awesome. Al Gore was late getting there, and he had his kids on there, his 2 and 3-year-old son.
Oh, my God, we have to get the tape.
You know, see, there's the problem. It was on at the same time as 24. That's why nobody in our circle would have been watching.
This is a good boy. This is a happy boy.
He is the Chancy.
Man, the little Chancy man.
Are you going to sing and dance with him?
I'm going to do the chance next.
Hold on, honey, hold on.
Okay.
Hold on.
Stand up, Chance.
Okay? Stand up, stand up.
Okay. I wrote this song myself.
This is a good boy.
This is a nice boy. This is a happy boy. This is the Chancy Man. The little Chancy Man. Oh, we love the Chancy Man. The Chancy Man.
Oh, God. We'll get a tape of it. How awful was it?
Oh, my God. The kids were climbing all over the counter, and they were just obnoxious.
Wow.
And then they were going to sing happy birthday to him, and they were fighting over who was going to get in the microphone, and they're blowing raspberries into the microphone. It was
God, we got to get it. Was Larry awkward?
Yeah, well, because he was kind of rolling his eyes, saying, you know, he was trying to be cool with them because they're his kids. And then he started talking about his 40-year-old kids and his 30-year-old grandkids or whatever. And
now, how old are Larry's babies now? I mean,
they're what, five and...
Three and five, maybe?
Something like that.
Three and five. Was his trophy wife there?
Holding both of them.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
All right.
He even asked her, you know, how do you feel about being married to an older man? And it was just a riot.
Oh, like what's she going to say? I hate it.
Yeah, exactly.
He can't perform anymore.
We must get that tape. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You know, someone working downtown at CNN will send us a copy.
Sammy didn't have a good backup guest booked like Santa Claus.
Y'all better watch out. Wait till we get close to Christmas and we play these tapes we have of Larry King. Absolutely, just with these kids, he has no presence with them at all.
They do like a Santa Claus town meeting with kids.
This young man, what's your question for Santa Claus?
You ever get sick? Antibiotics?
Antibiotics. Hello, Don and Ann.
And can we agree, the worst Santa Claus I have ever heard in my life? This guy that was just incapable of playing Santa Claus. Somebody they probably got from the engineering room over at CNN.
This guy's like, ho, ho, ho.
He was absolutely horrible. And, you know, anybody can play Santa Claus, and you can answer the questions. Well, I go to my little factory up at the North Pole with my toys and all the elves work. This guy was saying things like, well, occasionally I get the sniffles, you know.
Bad, scary answers.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike, how are you doing today?
We're doing great, thanks.
Hey, I just want to say I missed you for the 2 months I was in Georgia at the Federal Law Enforcement Training Center, and glad to be back here in D.C., and thank you for all your service, man.
What is your training center? Where were you?
The Federal Law Enforcement Training Center.
Oh, so you're, what are you going to be? What are you going to do?
I'm going to be working for the State Department.
Oh, okay. Good for you.
Cool job.
Right, hey, thanks a lot, gentlemen. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Send us paraphernalia. We love stuff that's got, like, you know, hats and logos and stuff like that.
We got some nice T-shirts from the guys down at the Pentagon, but it's been a long time since we've gotten the real good stuff. You know?
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi there. You're on the air.
Hey, I just thought I might give you guys a heads up because I know Mike, he's kind of got a weak stomach. That guy that's going to come down and eat that balut, if he cracks that egg open in your studio, half your building's going to have to leave.
Is that the guy that says it's got a little bird inside the egg?
Yeah, it's a little fermented duck is what it is.
And it stinks?
Oh, my God. You'll be hoping somebody cuts a fart just so it'll smell better.
Oh, my God.
All right.
God.
Thanks for the tip.
Wow.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Don. Mike, how you doing?
Hi, great, thanks.
Good. A while back, you guys had mentioned that you might do a show where people come in and be you for a day. I was wondering if you were still planning on doing that.
Yeah, but who knows when we're going to have time. I mean, you know, there's lots of stuff floating around out there. One of these days we'll get to it.
Because it's always been my dream to be Rob A for a day.
Well, you know, sure. Take a number for better service.
Everybody wants to be Rob A.
Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
The latest radio thing is Winona Ryder bits. And there's a company in California run by Jerry Clifton, who's a radio guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's now running promotions for radio stations.
Right.
And what you do is you as a radio station, you pay him like $1,000 a month, and whenever something happens in the news that's timely,
he's all over it.
Yeah, and he's like your promotion guy to give you great ideas. Well, it didn't work out too well for KLUC Las Vegas. We're on in Las Vegas, and Weasel from the Morning Zoo.
I only thought there was one.
No, there's more than one Weasel, Mike.
That's a shame.
go to an Affinity board meeting sometime.
Yeah, it's wall-to-wall
there's
Weasels.
There's lots of Weasels there. Anyway, I guess the consultant said, you got to do something to tie into this Winona Ryder thing. So the stupid Morning Zoo guy, and I say that myself, having been a stupid former Morning Zoo guy, and so is Mike.
Right.
The guy on the air goes to a store and steals $600 worth of stuff.
James
is so genius.
God.
And, of course, the guy was, you know, it says, tackled by security on his way out of the store.
Good.
Yeah, so let's go commit a felony and then just try to, hey, I was doing it for my show.
Let's see now. Also from this same guy, KDWB Minneapolis, a newly hired intern, coincidentally named Winona, made off with a bunch of concert tickets, but decided to share them with station listeners.
Hey.
And they're like, hey, our crazy intern, Winona, has stolen all of the U2 tickets.
Yeah, we're tying this into the big Winona Ryder steal it time.
And then she calls up and she goes, hey, morning zoo guys, this is Winona. I can't live with the fact that I shoplifted your U2 tickets. I've got to give them to the great listeners of KDWB.
Jesus Christ.
And let me see. Cedar Rapids, KZIA, conducted a stolen Winona Ryder weekend in which listeners scored a DVD of her new movie, Mr. Deeds, along with other Winona movies that were found in a sack outside the radio station.
A sack? Mm-hmm. A sack of movies?
Not to be outdone.
Who's doing more?
I'm going to need this is Scott Shannon because he made it.
Did he do it too?
He made it.
Oh, my God.
In front of the whole
video. Here you go.
Shannon in the morning.
Perhaps.
Hello, this is Scott Shannon.
The most outrageous Winona Ryder stunt.
Of course.
WPLJ New York, Scott Shannon, has come up with the Winona Ryder holiday shoplifting spree.
Hello, this is Scott Shannon.
One lucky winner walks away from Saks Fifth Avenue with $5,000 worth of stuff. Morning man Scott Shannon will cover the cameras, distract the security guards, and take care of clipping the security tags.
Mm. Oh, God.
And I also want you to know,
Jesus.
WPLJ will pay for the stuff in advance.
Of course.
So you're not really stealing.
Yeah, but you can go and pretend you're shoplifting.
You can shoplift that merchandise right now.
Jesus. That's all the stupid stuff the radio stations are doing. God. You know, because the whole thing about radio is they have like these big getaway meetings where dumb radio guys lecture other dumb radio guys about how you have to be topical.
You got to really tap into the trends of the day. And, hey, this Winona's story is real. Serious water cooler talk.
You know, but for Shannon, that's actually a step up from guess what celebrity is beeping the car horn.
I would have to say of all of those, the best and the dumbest was the guy from Las Vegas who on the air went into a store to steal stuff.
And got tackled by security guards.
Yeah. No.
Like, because he's doing the radio show,
it's okay to
shoplift.
Hey, right. Hold on. I'm Weasel from the Morning Zoo.
This is just a bit, guys. I know I walked out of the store with all this great expensive merchandise, but I'm doing a radio bit.
Crazy.
And I'm an incredible moron.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, you know, hold on. Just a second. Whoever does this, would you stop closing the blinds? I'm sorry, I'm a little nutty about this. Mike, you can't see from your vantage point. But
it was
funny
the way you did it. I had no idea. I thought you were talking about the people that were goofing.
Yeah, right, Diego. That's right. Open them. Thank you. Open them all. Thank you. Look, it's still light outside.
Daylight.
You know, barely. At some point, somebody during the show goes by and closes all of the blinds.
I thought you were concerned because people were looking at you.
No.
You missed that when they came by.
No, I like to look outside and see cars going by and stuff. I know that people are alive. I'm sorry. What was that? Are you there?
Hey, just real quick, I just want to let you know that KLUZ, the station with the weasel you were just talking about.
Yeah, Mike thinks I'm nuts. Right, I'm the one that's nuts.
I don't know. It was just an interesting rave out. It was. It was just like, you almost stomped your feet. You were that upset.
What? On more than one occasion.
I know. You've asked that.
I've asked the blinds open. And, you know, for a while when the sniper was out,
right,
sitting there closing the blinds to the sniper.
And because you do not fear death, you said keep them open even when the sniper was active.
We pull a proof glass.
That's when
anyway.
I jammed myself over here into the corner.
Anywho, whatnot.
Click, click.
What can we do for you?
Just want to let you know that station out here in Vegas with the weasel.
Yeah.
That's the sister station to the station y'all are on, KSFM.
Well,
they're the same office.
Well, what's happening with him now?
I have no idea. I don't listen to them. I listen to y'all.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. All right. Well, that was the right answer.
Yes.
Thank you. Do appreciate it. But that's the dumbest idea.
Gee, I hope he's all right.
And, joining us now is Abdul Sharif for our daily Ramadan Christmas carol.
Happy Ramadan, my brothers.
Happy Ramadan. And what is today's jingle? Today's carol.
It is as follows. Ramadan, Ramadan, Ramadan is it. Let's strap on explosives and blow ourselves to bits.
Oh,
Ramadan, Ramadan, Ramadan is great. The virgins look like Oprah, and we can hardly wait. Oh, dashing through the mines with Kalashnikov and gas. Hope the IDF won't shoot us in the ass. We want our homeland now. Our martyrdom is real. Hamas will give our moms $5,000. Man, is that a deal? Ramadan, Ramadan, Ramadan is swell.
Oh, wow.
Call us bearded lemmings as we blow ourselves to hell. Ramadan, Ramadan, Ramadan is dope. Ate my last falafel, made love to our pet goats. Attaching all the wires, making the steady hand, it's true. Blue must go to red, red must go to blue. I trust Ahmed so much, the plans that he has made. Hamas has trained him like a pro, cause he got to the fourth grade. Ramadan, Ramadan, Ramadan is great. Yasser sent to Hallmark, man is he first rate. Ramadan, Ramadan, Ramadan is now.
Here we go.
Ahmed, turn the TV on, and we're all a mushroom cloud.
Happy Ramadan, everybody.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Abdul.
Hey, guys, just want to let you know, this whole deal with the Islamic radicals, it's not supporting Israel. It's not anything else but the fact of American radio. That's why we want to kill you. Okay, so I just thought I'd let you know that.
Okay. I didn't really follow that, but there was just some kind of
political agenda there.
Editorial statement after the Ramadan carol.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, thank you.
May Allah bless you.
See you later.
Feels very strongly about it.
Apparently. Bye-bye. Guy writes funny songs.
Yeah. Buzz, can you decipher that?
I'm not sure. I'm a little frightened and disturbed by what he just said. I don't know what it means.
Something about killing people.
Yeah. It's American radio. Yeah. We want to kill you.
What do we do?
Don and Mike, hello.
Hi, this is Walter from Rockville.
And I just want to say that the goal of American radio is not to kill people.
Mm.
The goal of American radio is to have disc jockeys do incredibly stupid things like shoplift while they're on the radio.
And then other disc jockeys can make fun of them.
What we're all about.
The disc jockeys that are higher up on the food chain.
Hello, Walter.
Hi, Don and Mike. How you doing?
Hi, we're doing great, Walter.
Good. I just wanted to check. I wasn't sure if I heard it right. My understanding is that the last caller you had before the last break, a young lady who has a friend with a poo that stinks.
Yes.
And she also has a hunger for a hot dog.
Yes, she's going to eat a hot dog out of her friend's stinky poon.
And your request was that she dress very casually?
Yeah, it's about as casually as it takes, like nothing.
Naked.
Well, okay, the only thing I was wondering is if you have gotten her ticket yet and got the check cut.
Well, you know, I'm so glad you're excited about her performance, and, you know, we're going to let you know tomorrow.
I'm waiting.
Walter in Bethesda.
Well, you know your audience. Is this going to be a favorite?
Yeah, I'm sure it will be.
Way up there.
How old are you, Walter?
About your age.
And, Walter, you enjoy the nudity on the Don and Mike show?
Sure.
Way to go.
Sure. All right, well, you know, get yourself some Kleenex tomorrow.
I've got them right here.
Oh, dear.
Oh, you do?
He
okay,
does.
Just keep waiting. All right, bye, Walter.
Bye. You guys take care.
Okay, you take care, H.W.
H.W.?
Horny Walter.
Something tells me he's not our age.
No.
Didn't he sound a lot older than we are?
Yeah, let me tell you, lady, hot dog.
Hello.
Good.
Don and Mike, hello.
Yeah, hi, this is Cliff from Toledo. I'm a first-time caller and a long-time listener, and I just want to get that out of the way so next time I call you, I can get right to the point.
Thank you for listening on our Toledo affiliate.
Thank you.
Do we have an affiliate in Toledo?
Apparently we do. Hello, Don and Mike show.
That's the answer now, isn't it? We get so little information from the network that if I say that, apparently we do, and we move on.
Don't even have time now to stop and question.
We could find out maybe in March.
Hello, Dynamite.
Or not.
You two fat bastards.
Hey, you son of a bitch.
Hey.
Hey.
Listen, I got a Harvey story for you.
Oh, Jack Diamond?
Yes.
Ah, we love
talking
a great...
about the weasel.
We love a great Jack Diamond story.
Well, last year he did his Christmas party at the Hilton, and his band played, the Fabulous Diamonds.
Well, now, hold on. See, I'm going to have a major conflict of interest here, because I want to go down the road to make fun of Jack Diamond because he has a band.
Right.
Right.
You can. I was telling somebody the other day that was saying, you know, we'll destroy the myth, though, if I say you haven't come out to see the band. But I said I would be uncomfortable if you were in here, you know. Don't you agree that it just works this way? That it works best this way?
Yes.
With you having your attitude about it, and but yet being my good friend and supporting the endeavor anyway,
yeah,
as best you can, but not coming in here, and I'm not, you know, asking you to blow smoke up my ass about a band. You go ahead and rip Jack Diamond, and you know what? If you want to rip all disc jockeys that have bands apart, you go right ahead.
Well, I do, but I don't.
You know how you'll know when it's gotten to me? You look right over here, you'll see just a little tear.
One tear.
Going down.
Anyway, what about Jack Diamond and his band?
Well, they were talking about the meal that they're going to be serving this year. They're playing again, the Fabulous Diamonds.
Of course.
Is that really the name of his band, the Fabulous Diamonds?
No. I don't know what the Jack Diamond Band.
Diamond Band. Okay, right. And?
And Smokey, he was talking to Smokey. What's her name?
Stacey Ben. the girl that does traffic.
They're talking about the
Jack
menu.
Diamond Show. Hold on. We just have to tell everybody who doesn't know.
He's a local morning disc jockey here in Washington, D.C. that we have made fun of forever.
And he's got this traffic reporter who sounds like Marge Simpson's sisters. You know, hello, Homer.
Diamond.
Jackson.
Jackson.
This is Stacey Ben.
You're so controversial.
Well, Harvey is telling the Weasel and Smokey about the menu that they're serving this year.
Yes, and?
And she was just falling to pieces. He couldn't believe this wonderful food that they're going to be serving to all their listeners.
And you know what? I've heard him do that before. When he does that, he is at his ultimate, like, sanctimonious Mr. Shishi. Here's we've got a lovely duck, a lovely stuffed duck.
And I'll tell you why, because
it was so sickening.
Here's the deal. He cuts a deal with this hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Where he gets to stay for free, and he gets a piece of whatever business comes in. Now, you know, I can't imagine any way that we would ever whore out our listeners like this. The deal is that he gets on and goes, hey, now listen, a great deal this year at the Washington Hilton. They got a fabulous package where you get a champagne toast at midnight.
New Year's Eve that he's talking about.
Yeah, the Jack Diamond Band is there, a buffet, fantastic omelets of the next morning, and it's a package deal for a... It's always some ridiculous price, like $599.
Yes, I mean, like outrageous.
Yeah, you'd never pay this, but...
Right.
And then he describes the food, and it is gross.
Well, the kicker is, though, he's talking about how great the food's going to be this year. Well, I got roped into going last year. Okay?
Sucker.
Well, we knew a band member. And, oh, God, they suck. They turned down his amp. Nobody can hear him playing. All they have is the amp playing so he can hear it. He thinks he's the greatest guitarist in the world. No one in anywhere can hear him.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks a lot. Now, listen, at midnight you're going to have this delightful spread for the entrees. It's absolutely fantastic.
So they didn't serve the dinner until almost 11 o'clock last year.
You know, does it lack credibility that the guy that's busting on him actually went to the Jack Diamond thing?
You know, yes, it does.
It really does.
Is there a point to this?
Come on, guys.
Is there a point to the story?
No, well, I was just saying that he was raving about the food and how delicious it was.
Okay.
Last year, they didn't serve the meal until 11 o'clock.
I thought it was something really good. It's just the usual Jack Diamond crap. That's all.
I was saying, you've not lived until you've had the pheasant under glass.
Yeah, and he loves talking about the food like he's this big gourmet. And now here's what we have. You'll have a lovely Chardonnay on the table, and then we will also provide you with a lovely rice pilaf. And he goes through this, and it makes you want to puke the way he describes the food.
Although we did get a new nugget from that guy. We've all known forever that you can't hear him play guitar.
I've heard that they unplug his amp.
But we've not yet heard that
they put his monitor speaker up so he thinks he can be heard. So this is actually a big complicated ruse against Harvey, which is good.
And what's the other thing he always says when he's talking about, like, when he's going to be at a hotel, and somehow the listeners have to pay to stay in the hotel that he's staying in?
Right.
The property.
He's talking about a freaking hotel.
Right. The property.
Concrete hotel downtown.
Yeah, it's a great property.
The property's fantastic.
It's fantastic. Hope you join us, please. Thank you.
And Jared Diamond, with a really special deal. Now, you got to call the Hilton. You got to call now. This is going to sell out very, very quickly.
Exactly. It's
our Christmas gift to you. It's a way to ensure that you get New Year's Eve. You don't have to worry about drinking and driving.
And the whole package is included. It's one price. You don't have to worry about gratuity. No one will be tipped that is working there that evening.
And here's the last part that he also says. And we've insured you get a late checkout on New Year's Day.
No, meanwhile, what the guy's not saying is that, I mean, just he's whoring his listeners. Just whoring them out. You know, getting them to pay $500-$600 to go to a hotel to eat food that other people are pawing over at, like at a crappy buffet, to hear his awful disc jockey band. No offense, Mike. Drink cheap champagne while the whole time, you know, he's up there in the King Royal Suite, the one that he gets because he's in on this deal, up there with the latest wife, you know, the tambourine player in his goddamn band, up there with his baby that's got some name like Wyatt or Carson or what's his kid's name again?
Oh, God, it was Cloud Baby.
Cloud Baby.
Well, that was like the nickname, but who knows? I mean, he's such an ass.
Hey, thank you.
Thanks so much. Yeah.
Thank you, Jack Diver.
Thank you.
It's been a long time since we ragged on Jack Diver.
Oh, it has.
We just had a girl who wanted to. It's too bad that call didn't get on the air. Mm. Call back if you're there, Susie. Call back. Don and Mike, hello.
Hey, Don and Mike.
All that said on the screen was Susie. Proof that Jack Diamond is a great dad.
Oh, there you go.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, how y'all guys doing? You got a great show.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Hey,
thank you. That's why I want you to make sure you set aside New Year's Eve to join Mike and I at the Hilton Hotel this year.
Now, it's a great evening. It's only $700.
Mike, we never mentioned the price on the air.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, no.
We never mentioned the price. That'd be gauche,
but great food, fantastic food, great service, a great evening. Great evening with entertainment. Everyone from the show will be there. It's just a wonderful
time. And because we care about you. Late checkout.
Late checkout for you.
New Year's Day. A wonderful buffet on New Year's morning. Come down and have some eggs over easy.
We'll have the buffet open from 8:30 until 9 a.m.
There'll be two dance bands, heavy hors d'oeuvres. Wonderful.
Heavy hors d'oeuvres. You'll be eating all night long. It's really an incredible value. We're not going to mention the price.
And what he does is he makes it sound like it's a promotion. Mm-hmm. He makes it sound like it's free.
So what it is, really.
There's limited time to join us, so what you want to do is call the Washington, D.C. Hilton Hotel. And then, you know, imagine the poor schmuck that hears this idiot on the radio calls up and goes, yeah, hi, I'm wondering about the Jack Diamond New Year's Eve. Right. And they go, yeah, it's $500.
Yeah, and it is really what it is their normal New Year's Eve.
Right.
Just with him, Mayor, it's real special.
Thank you.
You know, it's the same thing they're doing for everyone, and you're going to love it, really. Heavy hors d'oeuvres.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Don and Mike, and don't forget, this is for our beloved Arbitron rated 13 listeners.
No, yeah, okay.
That's his other whole thing. Only got 13 listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine that, Jack Diamond in the morning. It was just a little tiny show, got 13 listeners.
Canapé?
Heavy hors d'oeuvres. Right. Late checkout.
You get all the carrot sticks that you want with lots of ranch dressing. It's really delicious.
Hello. Don and Mike. Hello. Are you there?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hi. You got to
talk. Harvey Jewell's sitting on a beach towel right now listening to this.
Yeah, I know, and we got to watch it, because when we goof on him, his ratings always go up.
His ratings go up.
Because people then go listen to him to hear.
Well, I would venture to say also we are talking about it, and so it'll be a sellout. There you go.
Top shelf cash bar.
I mean, all of your premium adult beverages will be their top shelf cash bar.
In the end of the evening, aperitifs.
for each and every one of you, and a selection of cognacs.
And you're going to love the property. The property's fantastic, yeah.
Delightful property.
A workout room for the kids. They have a video game room. you're going to love it. It's safe. And as I mentioned, a late checkout on New Year's Day.
And who doesn't want a late checkout after all those heavy hors d'oeuvres?
And prize drawing at 1 a.m.
Balloons, streamers, party hats, party favors, all the trappings.
You know, that,
all the trappings that you need for New Year's Eve.
He does mention that.
Everyone will have everything. You'll get your own hat with a diamond on it.
Hey, what can we do for you there?
Well, I'm just wondering, at the end of the night, does everyone get in the hot tub and have glorious 13-way sex?
Yeah,
yes,
know.
With Jack.
Yeah.
Sex with me.
All right, goodbye. Let's
tug on my ponytail.
That guy that had called on the Ramadan song?
Yeah.
What he was referring to was Senator Daschle had a news conference today where he was bitching and moaning that the radio talk show host had created such a frenzy that that's why the Democrats lost, and that's why he's getting death threats and his family's getting death threats. So don't worry about the extra security tonight. It was a reference to a news conference.
All right. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. And it's really going to be a wonderful evening and a great
conference. All right. Now, hold on. Lisa's just sent me an instant message saying, click here. And it must be, it's sending me to.
Hey.
Okay, here it is. Hold on. Mike, let me read it. Don't.
Okay.
Oh, God damn it. What did I just do?
There it is.
I lost it. How do I enlarge it?
Rich 1073 Jack Diamond New Year's Eve celebration.
It is New Year's Eve.
At the Hilton McLean, Tyson's Corner, taking reservations for Jack Diamond's New Year's Eve event. Must be 21 or older. Formal to semi-formal attire required. Overnight stay is required. Let me call for reservations. See how much it is.
Oh, they have the menu.
The menu. Robbie, read the menu while I call up here.
Smoked duck breast.
A lovely smoked duck breast.
Corn ratatouille.
That corn ratatouille that's just absolutely wonderful.
Sweet potato truffle vinaigrette.
And we've got a lovely sweet potato truffle vinaigrette.
With edible orchid.
With an edible orchid, which is just a lovely design, and they do a great job with it.
Baby romaine with peppered walnuts.
With peppered walnuts. Baby romaine. He'll read the entire menu, too, on his show.
Oh, brother.
Stone 9 is available from 7 a.m.
I'm still waiting.
What's a béarnaise sauce on a grilled fillet of beef?
You have reached an automated service. Please enter the number or the name of the person you wish to reach.
Send me back to the front.
A grilled fillet of beef with béarnaise sauce. And don't forget the edible orchid.
Yes, the Jack Diamond New Year's Eve thing.
Okay, I'll have to connect you to
sales. He's the most believable, wonderful disc jockey in the world.
Okay, let me connect you to sales. Thank
connect
you.
Me to sales. Great.
Yeah, we'll have a lovely heavy hors d'oeuvre plate of
Hilton.
All I'm doing is getting a voicemail. I'm not going to be able to find out how much this goddamn thing costs.
It's possible. Thanks.
Oh, hold on.
We got it.
Lisa found it on the very bottom of the page.
Well done.
Only $399 per couple.
$399
plus tax includes deluxe overnight accommodations, in-room amenity, heated four-course dinner, hosted bar, live music by the Jack Diamond Band, champagne toast, party favors, balloon drop, and retro music after midnight.
Retro dance music.
Wow. After midnight.
After midnight.
$400 plus tax.
Jesus Christ.
Enjoy your canapé.
Jesus Christ.
Your fillet of beef with béarnaise.
F you, Harvey. F you, dickhead. God damn. He's worse than the guy in Las Vegas that stole the stuff.
Oh, yeah.
The guy in Las Vegas, at least I'm guessing, was trying to entertain his listeners.
Don, while we've got the opportunity, let me mention to you what my band will be doing for New Year's Eve.
What is your band doing, Mike?
Nothing.
Thank you. Okay, is the OJ guy here? All right.
Good.
The guy who's written the book, saying O.J. Simpson's dog watched O.J. kill Nicole? Okay.
I haven't seen the book. I don't know what it's about.
He's here. We'll bring him in right after this.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What we're dealing with here
is a complete lack of respect for the law.
The Don and Mike Show.
Wearing Cuban heels and cowboy hats, Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
You know, I'm really trying not to give this disc jockey a free commercial.
Yeah.
But I'm looking at the website during the break, right? I could never, ever live with myself for whoring out my listeners, our listeners, for something like that. I mean,
not even with the Bernays sauce?
You know, I should live with telling someone to go to hell.
Right.
Or saying you're a douchebag. Or, you know, I wish you were dead. All of that I can live with. But really, I don't think I could live with the fact that you're getting people to pay $400 to stay in a hotel.
Right.
You know, and the only reason it's $400 is because it's New Year's Eve.
Yeah, I mean, it's a regular New Year's Eve that he is, you know, shilling.
And
I mean, it's what you would pay at any other hotel that you own. You pay, you know, you pay less, you pay more. But I mean, it's basically the same. It's their expensive. It's when hotels charge, you know, to the nines because they can get it.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, it just really makes me ill.
Yeah.
It makes me ill. I know a lot of people think that we're bad guys, but we'd never do that.
You'd never do that.
We would never. I think even...
I did sell those T-shirts for a while.
Don't. You got a hall pass on
that. Do I get a free pass
on
that?
You got a hall pass on that. Even like Liddy going on the cruise is not as bad. Because that's, you know, that's a vacation, and that's someone... I guess I could rationalize that, you know, well, all right, you're whoring yourself out, but you're letting people know, hey, this is a big-ass expense.
Yeah.
Right? It's going to cost you a lot of money.
Right.
But... Jesus Christ, $400 to stay, you know, in a hotel, and when you look out there and it says in room, what is it, in room amenities?
Right.
Well, you know what that is? That's coffee maker,
hand lotion,
and the shampoo and the soap, and the TV.
In room amenities.
That, yeah. Those are your in room amenities.
It's paper. A night in a hotel.
Anyway, I couldn't
a lamp.
Couldn't look at myself in the mirror. And that's awful on one hand, that I got no problem telling someone, go to hell, I wish you were dead. But we will never, ever on this show do something where we whore our listeners like
that. We will never charge $400 to be at New Year's Eve.
Because you know that he's got a side deal going.
Mm-hmm.
That he's making
you bet your ass.
A big percentage out of every $400 package.
I mean, I have a DJ band, and one of the reasons we don't play on New Year's Eve is because it's really for a musician. The best night of the year, and a lot of guys that play in my band play in other bands, and they go off to make their, you know, their living because that's what they do. And I mean, it's a great night. You better believe that he is getting,
well, that sucks.
You know, this little sweet deal.
That sucks. You know, it's thanks enough that you give us the Arbitron ratings. That's
right.
All.
Yeah.
You don't gotta pay $400. To hear a crappy disc jockey band, no offense, Mike, on New Year's Eve.
His band is good.
For goodness sake.
Well, we charge. I mean, I get paid when I go into a restaurant, and they charge whatever, and I think maybe the last one we did, they might have had a $5 cover charge.
Oh, ouch.
Yeah.
Ouch.
They might have had that. And we got a lovely Bernays sauce with steak.
All right, bring in the OJ, guys. Now, I don't know.
I'm confused. I look at this book. I don't know what to make of it. I'm not sure.
Now here,
I have no idea.
We'll ask him.
Here's the book. Oh, hold on. Jack Diamond's son's name is Connor Lennon.
Connor Lennon, named after John Lennon?
Yeah, Connor Lennon.
All right, there you go. Thank you.
And we only know that because, you know, he talks about the kid and, you know, puts pictures of the kid on the website. And
Lennon
all that.
After the communists.
Right. Now,
L-E-N-I-N, right.
Let me see. The book is O.J.'s Dog Days, my account of the Simpson murders and the Simpson lives by Cato, the dog, as Bart to Frederick Keel.
And you're Frederick Keel.
That's me.
And the dog barked this to you, or you're... Hey, what the hell's going on here? What is this? Is this your way of, like, giving your theories? Is that is this the way you were... I'm very confused by this.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Cato saw about 8,000 human-type creatures writing books about the O.J. Simpson story, and not a single one of them could shed any light on what really happened out in Nicole's yard when the murders occurred. Cato is the only eyewitness. He was covered with blood. He ran through the streets of Brentwood right after the killings, and he brought the first humans back to the crime scene. And he was covered with blood, and this is the only eyewitness. And after 5 years, he decided, enough's enough. I'm going to tell my story.
So you're going with this, aren't you?
All right.
You're going to just more gonna, power. You're going to stay with that party. All right. I
will say the name of the book is O.J.'s Dog Days. You get it at Amazon.com or iUniverse.com. Mm-hmm. Now, in the book, it says a baby picture of the dog. Mm-hmm. Picture of the dog when he was a little puppy. Now, if we can just be real for 1 second.
Okay.
Just for a second. Did you really talk to the dog, or are you just writing this? Is this your own?
To protect yourself from litigation. Did some lawyer tell you, listen, if you really want to write what you think happened here, and you know, everybody, there are a lot of people that feel that justice was not served. If you really want to get your theories out there and cover your ass and not be sued, write it from the perspective of the dog.
Absolutely not.
Oh, God, all right, I'm crying.
Then let me read you part of the book.
All right, Don, I'd like to hear a little segment.
Let me read you a segment
Very good.
Of the book, and this is now the dog speaking.
This is Cato speaking. Is the whole book a narrative from the dog?
The entire book is from the mind of a dog. The dog, of course, is colorblind, sees no colors.
Right.
He wonders, what are these humans talking about? What is this Rolling Stone song, Coming in Colors? What could that possibly mean?
Right, okay.
But he smells, and like all of these L.A. women, he said these L.A. women are so strange the way they smell.
Uh-huh.
But he can tell a woman who, when she goes over 35, he can smell, despite all of these tummy tucks, operations that
he can tell a woman's age by a scent.
By the scent, he can
fascinate.
Chapter 20 is Nicole's anatomy.
Yes, very good.
Now let me see. Back to the mirror. Despite it all, Nicole obviously relished looking at the profile of her body, running her hands over her breast as she did so. That's a nice bra, she told Nicole. This would be Faye Resnick speaking. As Nicole greeted her at the door. I circled around behind Faye, but no one else was looking in the front door.
So the
dog circled around, right? You mean it really shows off my breasts, Nicole said. Aren't they great? Then Faye Resnick says, aren't we vain today?
I'm thinking Frederick Keel was getting a charge out of that chapter.
Nicole says, oh, it's not as if I'm bragging about my own beauty. I've got the best breasts money can buy, and I'm proud of them. Well, you sure like showing them off. Christ, you can't believe the way that O.J. pressured me to get them enlarged. I resisted for years. I mean, it was never a problem in the beginning. Men get bored so easily, Nico.
It's amazing how the dog was able to communicate to you an entire conversation between Faye Resnick and Nicole.
Men get bored so easily, Nico.
Excuse me.
They're such children. Well, I'm sure O.J. started meeting and probably doing a lot of Hollywood sluts who had implants, that son of a bitch. Faye shrugged. You married a superstar, a super stud, but he promised it would be for only me. Yeah, right, and I believe in Santa Claus. Okay, I was a jerk, but no more. I finally gave in, and now I'm so glad I did. My breasts are gorgeous now, tighter than a 17-year-old's, and twice as big. I can't get enough of them.
No.
Now, all of this follows real events. Absolutely. Now, Faye Resnick wrote a bestseller in which she said that Nicole seduced her just months before the killing. Mm. And this angered Nicole's family because Nicole wasn't around to...
Let me cut right to the chase here. The dog, does the dog tell you who did it?
Yes, but I'm going to plead with you guys not to tell because I want people to buy the book. On page 299,
all right,
you can see the artistic rendering where the dog's memories gets confused with everything he's seen on TV and that night.
All right, Mike, are you ready?
This is what page we're talking about.
299.
Here it is right there.
299.
And the page before as well is the actual act. But please don't tell your audience because I'm hoping they'll...
Come on. Come on.
What the hell are you doing, Fred?
Come on now. Is this a comedy book
Or is this...
Well, where's it coming from? Because, I mean, it's like all over the place. I'm kind of... I'm curious. I mean,
Are you writing your own theories about O.J. under the guise of doing it as the dog? Have you ever really met the dog?
Are we able to get a straight answer out of you, or will we not be able to?
The dog was outraged at all of the false tales that have come out about this case. For example, another... exclusive in this book is that the dog was in the Bronco during the chase. This never came out.
Was that a fact? In fact, no. He's shaking his head. No.
Of course it was. And I'll tell you this.
No, I don't remember the ladies dog. Ladies and gentlemen, radio man. He just gave me one of those little. No,
I don't believe the dog was ever in the Bronco during
Don,
the chase.
Don, this is what he did. He gave
don't
me one of
those. Don't you remember O.J.?
His armor cracked for a second.
O.J. had a dress and a wig and $50,000 in that Bronco. Now, everybody thought O.J. was going to dress up in that dress. But he tried to dress the dog in the dress and push him out the door so the...
May I talk to Fred for a second? Frederick? May I speak with Frederick? May I? Will Frederick answer some of my questions?
I am answering. I am only...
I'm not going to ask the... I'm not asking you about the book right now.
Okay.
I'm asking you some questions.
Okay.
Will you answer them?
Okay.
I'm asking you, will you answer them?
Sure, I'll answer them.
Very good.
Have
okay.
you ever been hospitalized?
Do you have any contact with the family? Have you had any contact with the Browns or the Goldmans? Have you had any...
No, I haven't. But if any of your listeners can... connect to OJ in any way, I'll be glad to send them a free copy of the book and see if they can show it to OJ. I would love that to happen.
Here's why it is confusing. At the beginning, it says OJ's dog days, the only eyewitness account of the Simpson murders by Cato the dog as barked to Frederick Keel.
Right. The longest title of a book I've ever seen.
Do you think, well, maybe it's a goof, right? Because it says Cato to my the brothers and sisters, I'll never forget, that's the dog.
Right.
And you, Frederick, you dedicate the book to your mom, your hero, and then on the inside, the next page says, to Nicole and Ron, justice will come one day or another in this world or the next.
That sounds to me like you're making an editorial statement.
So you're going from being goofy to being serious, and we're wondering really...
that's a good question. Serious book or a not serious book?
It's a serious book. Look who wrote the foreword to the book.
Lassie. I'm aware of that, yes. Well, it must be serious.
Other dogs mentioned in the preface to the book, Rin Tin Tin, Lady from Lady and the Tramp,
of course.
Eddie from Frasier, Hooch from Turner and Hooch,
right.
Santa's Little Helper from The Simpsons, Paw, Power Paw X from the L.A. Dog Pound.
Where's Cato now, Frederick?
He is with the children.
He's with the kids.
Now, Mike, here's the editorial method. I met my human translator, Frederick Keel, in Central Park during a trip to New York. He was a pathetic creature sitting on a park bench, taking his two ugly, tiny mongrels on an airing. But what he was really hoping was to meet some human-type chick, using those mangy creatures as a lure. How'd that work out, Fred?
As usual, I failed totally.
Anyway, it goes on and to say that, you know, the dog has spoken to Fred.
And, you know, are you relatively convinced that we're not going to get a straight answer out of old Fred here?
Absolutely.
I still don't know where it...
Well, I'll tell you.
What are you trying to do with the... Can I ask Frederick another question? What are you trying to do with this book? That's a valid question.
Well,
I think
this would make one of the most fantastic Christmas gifts ever. Just think about opening this under the tree.
That wasn't my
around
question,
the family.
Frederick. My question was, what do you aim to get across with this book?
This book tries to show the entire Simpson lifestyle, how they led their lives up to the time of the killing and afterward.
And then does the lifestyle indicate why the murders occurred?
I kept staring at him, and like there's this glow of red, like the ends of his hair still got blood on them, O.J. said. If he walks in the sunlight, the rays hit him just right. It's like he's bathed in blood.
Well, who is he talking about?
Don't you see it? I'm just reading a page at random here.
Okay.
O.J.
You're confusing me more now.
O.J., you're imagining things. We washed him good, but you can't get all the blood out. I mean, it stains everything, right? I want him groomed. Run him through a car wash if you gotta. But I want his hair cut super short. I want him washed with lye if it's gotta be. so we're sure we got every speckle of blood off him, and up and in between his paws, too. Remember, he was tramping around in that blood. He's probably got it stuck up there as well. No, O.J., we cleaned him really well. No, I see it. Sometimes his little feet get damp from dew or rain or something, and he leaves little patterns of blood from the bottom of his paws. So the dog is obviously talking about O.J. cleaning the dog, right?
In that case, yes. But I'll tell you, after the trial, I don't want to say with whom, but Cato slept at the foot of a bed of somebody, and every night, somebody crawled up under those covers. This person was lying in the bed, and night after night, while Cato was at the foot of the bed,
yeah,
somebody would crawl under the covers and start to sexually excite this person. And this person would look under the covers and see it was the ghost of Nicole, and then the ghost of Ron, and he would start shrieking in terror. And Cato heard all of this, and he puts it down in this book.
You know what? I was thinking it's all a goof until you just said that part.
Yeah, I think we know what he's doing, don't we?
Yeah.
We'll pay back, you know?
I got you.
So you do have the dog describe the murders here, and it's pretty grisly. It's pretty graphic. It really is. It's kind of sad, actually. It's pretty sad.
Nicole and Ron are treated with respect in the book. Yeah, man.
They are.
So they are innocent victims.
Man, and did you hear, or was there ever anyone else that got that information that maybe O.J. had some nightmares, or is that just what the dog told you?
Only what the dog told me.
And you kind of like that scenario. You kind of like the dog telling you
what
that.
What the dog told him.
I can't believe you don't like this with what happened with Faye and Nicole, because what really happened...
The lesbian stuff?
Yes, but that's false. Cato tells what really happened that night.
You mean the dog? Because I don't want people to think
about Cato, the dog.
Cato, Caleb.
No. Because O.J. was the one who accused Nicole of having a lesbian relationship with Faye.
No, Faye Resnick
wrote it. Okay.
And Faye was in drug rehab on the night of the murders. Nicole did call her right before the killing.
Okay.
But on this night of the killing, of the so-called seduction, Cato went along.
The dog.
In the car, Cato the dog went along. Mm-hmm. Nicole knows he likes vodka, so he was sipping her vodka in the back seat.
All right.
The dog is drinking vodka.
Yes, well, Nicole, and there was secondhand marijuana smoke.
So the dog is drinking and smoking pot.
Right. And then they go dancing, they keep on drinking, they get whacked out. Mm-hmm. They go back to Faye's house.
Yeah.
Hey, I'll ask Nicole you passes out.
Right.
Nicole passes out. Faye calls Nicole in.
You're one great guest, I'll tell you that.
The dog trots in to tell the Faye, and guess what?
What?
Faye drags the dog into the bed saying, oh, Nicole, you're so hairy, because she's totally whacked out. And there is dialogue totally from Faye's book. Faye says, Nick suddenly leaned over and started kissing me. It felt so foreign. That is direct from her book. But Cato says, of course it felt so foreign, you wench, it's me who was kissing you.
You're nuts. He clears that up.
Okay, the name of the book is O.J.'s Dog Days.
And plus, if people call in today
to buy the book. Too.
Where? What page are you on, Mike?
The mouth of the Nicole apparition slithered up towards O.J.'s...
You're not supposed to say that.
Oh, I'm sorry. All right, okay, all right. No.
Anyway, if people call now, Fred...
Now, Cato has refused to go on any of these autograph shows, but he will autograph each and every copy with his paw print.
The dog will.
The dog will. And so you'll get an autographed paw print copy by Cato if you call in today,
Fred,
iUniverse.com, or you have the phone number.
Fred, if you could answer this question, how do you feel about O.J.?
I was a big fan of his as a football player, mm-hmm. not such a big fan of his acting career.
Uh-huh.
And
movies?
Of his movies.
Right.
And
do you think he killed his wife?
Yes.
You do think so.
There you go. Okay. Well, we got that.
Okay.
All right.
I do. But Cato has another story.
All right. Again, the book is O.J.'s Dog Days. Go to iUniverse.com.
And can I give a phone number?
Amazon.com.
Sure. 1-877-823-9235. It's toll free. Call it and you'll get an autographed copy by Cato.
Okay,
that's wonderful. Thank you.
Get out.
Thank you very much, Frederick.
Bye, Fred.
Frederick Keel, ladies and gentlemen.
Nice meeting you, Fred.
Fred, thank you very much.
It's a big
thanks a lot. Thanks for coming on the show.
Very nice.
Thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah.
Okay, get him out.
What was that?
I don't know. I don't know.
How long have we been doing this show?
18 years.
I don't think I've ever had anybody sit in that chair over there that I don't know what the hell that was.
Me either.
But he's a big fan.
Did you read the... Listen, he doesn't want us to read it, okay? Because you're supposed to... for whatever reason, it is the very last page. But read...
All right, hold on.
All right.
The last
read
page of the book.
Page 325.
325.
And read about two-thirds down.
Two-thirds down.
Where it says the mouth.
The mouth of the Nicole...
Don't read it out loud, because he doesn't want you to read it out loud.
Put up towards O.J.'s exposed... Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
The Goldman...
it's this, like, macabre, semi-erotic, weird...
Puppy wisp bounded down O.J.'s chest toward his groin, his mouth open, the tongue out,
strange
to begin
stuff.
Licking.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's weird.
Does it leave it open for a sequel?
I don't know.
I tell you.
I'm more confused now than I was before.
I had two thoughts when I was talking with Lisa today about this guy. I said, if the book is a joke... Mm-hmm. I'm fine with that if the guy wants to come in and just say, hey, I hate O.J. and I think he killed his wife, and I'm writing the book like as a gag. I said, that would be acceptable.
Sure, of course.
That's fine. She said, no. The guy maintains this. Now, the guy came in, and at first I thought he was lighthearted, that we were kind of getting to the bottom of this, that, he's kind of goofy. And then he would say this out of left field stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I'm reading the book, you know... This part that Mike was just reading, this part about
the a lot sex. Of sex in there, yeah.
You know, come lick it, doggy.
And then there's a picture of a dog. I guess.
No way, Jose, I barked out. But of course she wasn't talking to me. She wanted little Sheba to nibble on OJ's member.
Wow.
Yeah, that's weird stuff.
It's like humans having sex with dogs.
Oh, and then on page 93, there's a picture of the dog rolling on its back, and it says, I think I'm as sexy as Ricky Martin. What do you think?
Wow.
I don't know.
Wow.
I think if you want to read this, you got to come to your own conclusion.
Wow.
But it is weird.
Anyway.
The whole thing is odd.
That's Fred. That's Fred.
Mighty Freddy.
I say this, that's a good booking, Herndon. You just went up a couple of... I'm serious.
Yeah.
That's a good booking.
No. We like to be totally confused when a guest walks in and when he walks out. We are still confused.
And Fred, if you make any money off that book, and I hope you do, go see a good dentist. Right away. He had, like, Letterman teeth.
He had piano keys.
Hello. I'm not sure that's his top medical priority.
Yeah, hello.
Hey, I'd like to ask Fred... Now, last Wednesday was Charlie Manson's 68th birthday, and I'd like to ask Fred how he feels that nobody's taking care of Charlie, and Joe Ardinger still hasn't gotten a raise.
Oh, shut up.
Hold
on. I shivered. Rob just found a great passage. I shivered. It was a long, narrow slit, a horrible mirror of the female labia.
Oh, my.
Open. And inviting.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of weird.
Go on, OJ.
It's like a nightmarish type of thing.
Very much so.
Here's a new hole for you. Use it, Juice. Use it.
Weird. Wow.
Not a million, no, a million times, no. You still got the juice, Juice? Or is it leaking out? Oh. Like it leaked out of me.
Woof, woof.
Little Sheba barked.
Who's Little Sheba?
I don't know. Not heard of her.
Little Sheba's another dog.
Wow. Whose dog?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Woof.
I'm only reading the book a page at a time. I mean, I'm not...
Strange stuff.
I'm not reading the pages in order.
Woof.
Jesus Christ.
Well, hey, I was wondering if you could talk them into doing Harry Potter with some of this stuff.
Yeah.
This is
a couple
weird.
Of pages in there that are a little weirder than the Harry Potter
stuff. Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, I might have missed the beginning of that. In that case, how did he claim to have come into the possession of the dog?
We don't know.
Yeah, he hasn't explained that.
We never know that. Right.
I don't think he's ever seen the dog.
No.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Then how could he write the book?
Hello. Are you there? All right, never mind. You're not there. Hi, Don and Mike show. Oh, we got a break.
Hey, how's it going? You guys are going to be ran live in Seattle on Monday from noon to 3, and BJ's going to move from 9 to noon because you guys haven't been on here for like 2 months live.
Oh, no, that is great news from Seattle.
Can I tell you guys a joke? I'll give you my phone number.
No, we don't have time for that today, but thank you for the good news.
Where'd you crack the deck to you?
Spreading. Okay.
Is that true or not about Seattle?
I don't
know.
No, that is true. It is.
Right, well, then why did you say the other joke?
Because it's funny. I was
love you guys. I wish I could hug you. Hi, guys.
Okay. Well, now we'll find out.
Don and Mike show.
Hello, Don.
Yeah.
Hey, where did you find this lame excuse for a writer?
Actually, he sent us a copy of his book.
Didn't anybody take time to read any of it to maybe even get an idea about where this person was at? Because it seems like maybe he was sipping a little bit too much or puffing a little too much.
No, I would not disagree with you.
Yeah, we're not justifying or doing anything with this book. We're just trying to figure it out.
He's a good guess.
We still can't figure it out.
He's a real good guess.
Excellent guess.
Yeah, well, he didn't put up too much argument, did he?
No, and I think he probably feels very strongly about the murders. And
well, I'm sure a lot of people do, but as far as to go where he went...
Yeah.
No, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more.
I know.
So you think he's a little strange.
And sir, can I just tell you something, really?
Sure.
Do you think you're taking this a little too seriously?
Well... No, because
I think you are.
Week, I think that you were saying that you know you didn't want to have this person on if they weren't like legit, and well,
yeah, like
the lamest.
Hold on. Like he was ever really going to talk to a dog.
Well, no, I know, but
okay,
but well, I took that with a grain of salt. But,
thank you. Well, I'm pouring an entire Morton salt container on your head right now.
Hey, it feels good.
Good. Okay. Goodbye, douchebag.
Thanks a lot, Don.
Bye-bye. Don't get the joke.
Bye, Mike.
Bye-bye. I mean, yeah, we know the guy's full of ass.
Yeah.
I would venture to say there's only one thing, and I might be wrong about this, too, because the guy was kind of a nut. Mm-hmm. There might be lawyers involved in this, because this might be a way where you can get away with absolutely anything. Well, the dog told me, and then, you know, I mean, defend yourself in a court. Who the F knows? Yeah. Who really cares?
Yeah,
the guy is full of S, but...
I'm looking forward to reading the book over the weekend.
You know what? I don't think so. I remember going to... Rob. I remember, I've told you this a million times ago, one of the few things that I learned when I was in school, in the journalism class, was you could read a book or an article. You read the first paragraph, it was an article, the first paragraph and the last paragraph. Mm-hmm. If it's a book, you read the first page and the last page, and you should be able to summarize.
Right.
And in this case, if you read the first page and the last page of the book...
You're nuts.
It makes no sense.
No.
It
doesn't make any sense.
Not at all.
It makes absolutely no sense. The last page of this book is the most confusing bunch of gibberish I have ever read. Take me, Daddy. Woof, woof. Little Sheba Bart. Go away, Nicole. Go away, Ron. Go away, baby. Puppy, please, please, please. Is your athlete body still filled with juice?
Wow.
Or is it leaking out like it leaked out of me?
Wow.
Oh, man.
Christ.
Who knows?
Gary.
Great guest.
Click, click, click.
Yeah, we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Way down upon the Herbert River, far, far away. Well, I've got sand in every nook and cranny. Pants are wet all day. Yeah.
I may be a bitch, but I'll never be a butch.
The Don and Mike Show.
Katie, please stand up. I repeat, will the real Slim Shady please stand up?
They should know better. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Tomorrow, over 22 contestants signed up already.
Wow.
For the
What
Would You Eat show.
Wow, we have some good eaters.
Joey, will you run in the list of the stuff that people have promised to eat?
It's amazing.
Also on tomorrow's episode, Sexpert Dr. Patty coming in with the Liberator. These are pillows. Geometrically shaped pillows that make sex enjoyable. And the girls from Amazing Entertainment will come in and demonstrate sexual positions for us using the pillows.
And Dr. Patty is a new sexpert that we're going to have on the show. Yep, we've never had her on before.
Never had her on. Trip tomorrow to Las Vegas, courtesy of Veramax. You got the list? Contestants?
It's printing
right now? Mm-hmm. Great. That's on tomorrow's show. Bill O'Reilly, Thought of the Day. Bill, what do you have for us?
I'm going to be in a porno movie.
There you go.
There it is.
Bill O'Reilly, thought of the day. Mike, here's a question about the affiliates.
Yes.
Someone called and said Toledo.
Yeah, Toledo. We actually got a call.
We don't know.
From Toledo, and I said, do we have an affiliate in Toledo?
We don't know.
We don't know.
But we do know that starting Monday, we'll be on in Pittsburgh.
Hey. Like, really in Pittsburgh?
Really in Pittsburgh.
Because I know for a while we were, like, west of Pittsburgh.
I've heard of the station, WURP.
Excellent.
Pittsburgh, that starts on Monday.
As we maintain our total domination of Pennsylvania.
That seems to be the state that loves us.
We got Philly, we got Pittsburgh now, and we've got York. And Wilkes-Barre.
Yeah. Well, Robbie, W-U-R-P. Oh, it's like burp, right?
And, of course, in the event that we do get Toledo, then, of course, we can do our entire show on Jamie Farr.
And also, if we ever got out in Toledo, we could have every show was saying, see you in Toledo.
See you in Toledo, and and go Mudhens.
W-U-R-P, Pittsburgh. Okay, tomorrow on the show, all these people have said they'll eat these things. One guy in toenails, another guy in his dingleberries, another guy eats dirt, another guy eats spam with peppers, another guy eats the hot dog that's been in the armpit of Joe Ardinger.
Hot dog!
Another guy that eats canned goldfish, a guy eats a big jar of Miracle Whip, guy eats whatever's left on the floor after everybody else eats, guy eats animal brains, guy eats 10 worms, guy eats the PB&J mayo mustard squid sandwich, guy eats a live crab. Guy eats 2 pounds of corn with maggots in them. Guy's going to eat roofing tar. Guy eats the egg that has the baby bird inside.
Mm. That's the thing that's supposed to stink out the whole room.
Guy eats fish heads with eyes in them. Guy eats 1 pound of cat food. Guy eats a pizza, an entire pizza, with his own pubic hair on it, and then eats the box. Guy eats the pet store salad, pet food. In a bowl with romaine lettuce.
I'm getting queasy already.
We got a girl that's going to eat a hot dog out of her other girlfriend's stinky poon. A guy who's going to eat a combination of cat food and snot.
What about the baby bird? You mentioned that already?
Yeah. And
eat that baby bird.
A guy who's going to eat... Now, Lisa, there are a couple on here that we didn't get on the air. For instance...
Wild card.
The... cat food and snot was one that we didn't get on the air. And there's one here that I really have to hear about. Going to eat his wife's skin tag.
Ugh.
Now, is he going to bite the... Lisa, did you take this one?
Called Stinky.
Whose screen? Called Stinky. Call Stinky. Let me call Stinky Poon. See what he... Oh, here he is. Hi, Joe. So what's the deal with the... you want to say you're saying?
Stinky Poon!
So the guy who's going to eat his wife's skin tag.
Yes, a gentleman called me, said his wife was going in at 9 a.m. to have a skin tag removed from her butt.
Ooh.
And he would be willing to bring it down and eat it.
Wow.
He's in Maryland. So.
Delight, yay. And find out about the toxicity of roofing tar.
Because I'm sure a nice acrylic.
You might think this is crazy, but I wasn't talking to you. Lisa, find out about the toxicity of roofing tar.
He said it's not petroleum-based, so it should be not... harmful to itself.
Okay, great. All right, that's good. All right.
Sure. Hey, we're all in here, though.
Yeah, we're all in here. The brain trust is in here.
We're here. Now, this is funny. Tom Gavin was on jury duty today.
Oh, no.
I find that hard to believe. Tom?
Yes?
How would you like to be the guy up for a crime and this guy's on the jury?
Good.
Were you really on jury duty?
Yeah.
You weren't selected for any jury, though, were you, Tom?
Yes, I was. I sat in on a court case this morning.
But, Tom, were you on the jury?
Yeah.
Were you sitting where the jurors sit?
Yeah. Yes, I was.
Did you decide if someone was guilty or innocent?
I was like, what do they call it?
I don't know, Tom.
What?
I don't know what they call it.
What do they call it?
I was sitting, looking, listening to the judge.
Were you in court because you were in trouble?
No.
Why were you in court?
I got picked for jury duty.
Got picked for jury duty. Were you there to be screened for jury duty?
No.
But Tom, did a lawyer talk to you and interview you?
No.
So you weren't picked to sit on a jury then?
I got to sit in on a court case.
You got to watch. But you weren't part of a jury.
Yeah, I was watching.
You were just watching like in the audience.
Yeah.
Can you spell jury for us?
J-U-L-Y.
July. Can you spell judge for us?
J-A-G-E.
Right.
Jags.
And finally, can you spell guilty?
Guilty?
Yes.
Guilty. G-U-N-E-R-Y.
Now, who wouldn't want this
Gunnery.
Man on their jury?
I would.
A jury of your peers. Tom, we got to go.
Hey, Mike.
Yes, Tom.
Where do you go to lunch sometime?
Nowhere.
Yes, you do.
This is like stalker time for Mike now.
A friend of mine knows where you go to lunch.
Well, Tom, I really don't go to lunch often at all.
Do you go to Julio's and Woodbridge?
No, I don't, Tom. That would be Julio's.
Julio.
I've been there in the
Julio.
Evening, but I've never been there for lunch.
You've been there in the afternoon. A friend of mine knows...
And now I'll never be going there again.
How do you spell verdict?
Verdict?
Yes.
V-I-G-E-D.
Right.
Viged.
All right, we're going to break.
Can I take you on the break?
Yeah, let me just say, when we come back...
when Donna might come back...
It's all over the tabloids about Oprah marrying Stedman.
Yes, very exciting.
And part of it includes... Oprah in the bathtub.
Very
Oprah in the bathtub.
We're going to be able to
in the bathroom.
We're going to be able to
in the bathtub.
It's here in the globe.
Uh-huh.
It's really in the globe.
She was celebrating the bathtub.
Oh, in the bathtub.
He's
for real.
In the bathtub.
For real. Yeah, so we'll be...
right back at these messages, and guess what, guys?
What, Tom?
I'm moving into a new apartment next week.
Great. Tom, you got to take us to break, though.
What floor, Tom?
Donna Mike will be back after these messages and...
What floor, Tom?
Oprah in the bathtub.
Well, what floor?
Explore in the bathtub.
No, what floor of the building are you going to be living in?
G-floor.
What?
The ground floor.
G-floor, he said.
Worth waiting.
The ground floor.
Worth waiting for.
The ground floor.
And it's going to be facing the patio.
Facing the patio.
Yep.
Wonderful.
Okay. Thanks, Charlie.
Okay, take us to break, Tom.
Donna Mike will go to break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The Howard Stern Show, tomorrow morning.
Accident just reported. Interloop of the Beltway before the Dulles Toll Road. You're already lined up near I-66 heading north into Montgomery County. Accident eastbound 66 near Washington Boulevard just reported. And it's been jammed out of Rodland to the accident on the Roosevelt Bridge in the left lane. Traffic's brought to you by the greater Washington area Dodge dealers. Buy a new 2003 Dodge Caravan through December 2nd. Get a portable VHS or DVD player at no extra charge, plus $2,500 cash allowance or 0% financing for qualified buyers. See your Washington area Dodge dealer. Here abruptly, the Don and Mike Show, WJFK.
Hey, wait a second. Oh.
Hello? Hang up, Tom.
Hey. I mentioned my birthday's coming up December 2nd.
Right,
I can't believe fine-ass bitches like yourself eat that shit. There ain't no fast food makes girls fart.
Hey, what's all this talk about farting?
Hi, Brent. This is Brent. He's the best, too. Brent, tell these sillies that girls don't fart.
Oh, of course they don't. Only skeevy stoners fart.
The Don and Mike Show.
Life, light, love, and luck. It's the Don and Mike Show.
Okay. Oprah's all over the tabloids. Right here, she's on the globe. At last, Oprah heads to the altar. Hold on. There she is on the Inquirer, Oprah to be married. Here she is in the Inquirer again. Oprah, I'm finally marrying Stedman.
It's all over the tabloids, but has she made it official?
10 years after she promised Stedman they'd wed, at last Oprah heads to the altar.
Look at how happy she is.
Reading the article, one of the articles of this thing, it's about Oprah and Stedman being on a vacation, she knelt on both knees. Oh, Stedman knelt on both knees.
Well, either one would make sense.
Yeah. Slipped on a pear-shaped diamond ring on her finger, says, I love you. It's time. I want you to marry me. Then they danced, and they went on a cruise, and at one point, they were taking a bubble bath together.
Oh. That's nice. We have tape of that, actually, don't we?
And I happen to know that when they were taking the bubble bath, at one point, Oprah got very upset.
Oh,
and she locked Stedman out of the bathroom. And no matter who Stedman would bring by, Oprah would not come out of the bathtub.
That's right. Absolutely.
So let's see. I want to make sure that we've got the... that on continuous. Continuous?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
All right. Then let's go now to that tape.
Okay.
I think you're going to hear Stedman, I believe, knocking on the door to try to get Oprah.
She's in the bathroom right now.
She's in the bathroom. Oprah, baby. This is Stedman, baby. Please come out. Oh, baby, I hear you in there, baby. This is Stedman. Listen, I brought somebody with me. You love him. You love him. Say hello to good old Regis Philbin. He want to help you get out of that bathtub, baby. Because I want to marry you.
Hello there, Oprah. Oprah, this is Regis Philbin. I'm wondering if there's an outside shot. You'd come out and talk to your future husband. Stedman, I know you're upset in there. Come on out.
Oh, baby. Baby, you sound sickly in there.
Oprah, you feeling... Oh, my. Are you feeling all right?
Oh, baby.
Would you like some Pepto? I've got a bottle of Pepto for you.
That doesn't sound good. Hey, Regis.
She sounds very depressed.
I hope you're not offended by what I'm going to say to you.
Not one little bit, Stedman.
Oh, my baby.
Your girl does not sound like she's particularly well. She must have eaten this bad cruise food. Does she have sick poops?
Please open the door, baby. I hope you're not offended, Mr. Philbin.
What's that, Stedman?
I believe I'm going to need a man of color to help me.
All right.
Would you step aside and send in Mr. Morgan Friedman's?
I'll leave right now.
Bye-bye. Now, Oprah, baby, this time, Stedman, and you listen to me now. I have your favorite movie actor right outside this bathroom door. And he want you to come out of there righteously bad.
Oprah, this Morgan Freeman, I would love you to come out of the bathroom right now. We're all very big fans of you. I've liked you for a long time.
Oh, listen to my baby.
Stedman?
Yes, Morgan?
Has Oprah been in there a long time? If she's been in there a long time, tell her not to eat as much corn. Oprah, this is Morgan Freeman.
She's been in there a powerful long time.
I'd sure like
the
you to
sick
come out.
Poops and all just lordy, lordy. Listen to the sound she's making.
Oprah, this is Morgan Freeman. If you come out on time, I'll give you a piece of candy. Would you like a nice piece of candy, Oprah? It's not working, Stedman. I don't think she's going to come out of the bathroom, and she does indeed have the sick poops.
Well, now, hold on just a minute. She opened the door just a minute up.
Oprah.
Now, she's out of the bathtub.
We all love you very, very much.
I've got to shut the door. I don't want you to see that. She's on the toilet right now.
She sounds like she's ill.
She's on the bowl.
Does she want my piece of candy? I will give her a piece of candy.
Oprah, baby, please, baby. Open the door back up, baby.
She's out of the tub now, and she's on the bowl. She appears to be on the bowl.
Baby, Morgan, I'm going to have to ask you to leave.
Goodbye, Oprah.
I'm going to have to ask you to leave.
Stedman, I gave it my best shot.
I got it. Baby.
Goodbye.
Baby, this is Stedman Graham. Soon to be your husband. Let me just say, baby. I have your favorite TV talk show host, besides you, of course, my queen, Larry King.
Hi.
Will you please help?
What's she doing? Is she on the toilet?
My fiance, Opa.
She doesn't sound vigorous.
Jeff. Powerful, powerful bad poops.
Oprah, Oprah, this is Larry King. Hi, we need you to come out of the bathroom right now.
Baby.
Oh, my.
I love you so much, I've asked you to marry me.
Does she have a good gastroenterologist? She doesn't sound well at all.
Please come up the bowl, baby, please.
Stedman, she's farting. This is Larry King. Have you seen my beautiful children and my lovely wife, Sean King? Oh, my God. I've got to leave, Stedman. The odor's killing me.
Listen, you frog. How can you possibly talk that way? Listen to my baby doll.
She's not healthy.
Listen to that.
She's not healthy at all. She should get a better internist.
Just moments ago, I was down on my knees right in front of that beautiful ass. And listen what's happening now.
Can I ask you a question, Stedman?
Yes, you can, Larry Kings.
Who's your agent?
Donald Ephraims.
Is he vigorous?
He don't work as hard as I wish he would.
I gotta go. She's never coming out of there. She's never coming out of there. She's never gonna be out there. She's not gonna be your wife. It's not gonna work out. I gotta go. Goodbye.
Baby. This is the last person that I would ever ask to come by. But I know that you are a gigantic football fan, and I would ask the former Redskins and Eagles quarterback, Sonny Jurgensen, please come to the bathroom door.
I don't know. Did ask you to come out,
Oprah?
I don't know. She's coming out. I don't want to talk to her.
Sonny,
Oprah, this is Sonny Jurgensen.
Please talk to her, Oprah.
Would you come out of the bathroom and talk
to me? I mean, Sonny.
Hello.
Hi, Stedman. Hi there, Sonny.
Come on, right now.
Please. Oprah.
If you come out of the bathroom, I'll take you to your favorite restroom. I'll get you to hook up with my friend Terry Lindsay.
I've asked you to become my bride, baby. Now you have
bride.
Sick poops. Please come out of there, baby. Please listen to Sonny's Jurgensen.
Come on now, if you come out, I'll give you a hot dog. Please come out, Oprah. We are all big friends and fans. Oh, I gotta go. I can't stand that.
I gotta go too, Sonny.
Nasty.
Oh, baby.
I'm not going back in there.
Sorry. Yes, I love you so much, baby.
I'll see if I can get a real football player like Sean Barber.
Please come by, baby.
Sam, it's farting, Sam.
There you go.
Oh, my. My God.
Great, great fun.
She's not coming out.
And anyway, that's how that would end. It's been a long time.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
It's me.
He made it up.
I knew we had to do was sit right here. They celebrated by taking a bubble bath together.
Yeah, and she's locked herself in the bathroom. And she, you know, at the very beginning, she was actually blowing bubbles.
Buzz, what is your lead story today?
Today, Kathy Lee wants back on TV.
Oh, no.
Oh, great lead. Thank you, Buzzy.
Stay tuned,
everybody.
For news and comments.
Coming up
on the Don and Mike
Don
Show.
And Mike Show. And that was very...
You know, that was very professional.
My baby doll.
Sick poops.
Oh, baby.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
That's okay. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Right, here we go with Buzz. The news brought to you by Miramax Sexual Enhancer. Have great sex more often with Miramax. Available at finer health food stores, pharmacies, and retailers everywhere. Or call Buzz at home. And if that number is busy, call 1-888-TRY-BMAX. Now here's Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Kathy Lee Gifford wants back on TV.
Boo! Okay. Excuse me, I had something in my throat.
Yeah. She's reportedly trying to get on the women's daytime talk show, The View.
No. To take the Chinese girl's place?
Now that Lisa Ling is leaving the show, there are reports Kathy Lee is asking to take her place.
There's no way those other bitches let her in.
It doesn't seem she'd get the job. Lisa Ling was there to give the show a younger voice, and the assumption is the producers would want her replacement to be younger as well. But earlier this year, Kathy Lee was quoted as saying, I have a lot of friends at the View, and they know I'm always there when they need me. End quote.
Oh, yeah, because you're so important.
What a C she is. I mean, she's a super C.
Yes. Since Gifford left Live with Regis, her album sales have been meager, and she's been singing in hotel bars.
Write the comic book right now. Super C.
Yeah, but I mean, she's not, I didn't mean it like that. Like, mm-hmm. She's super. Yeah. I mean, she's like a super C.
Uh-huh.
She's like,
you meant it negatively?
Yes. Super C.
Uber C. She's the Uber C.
The Uber C.
It's always Germany with you, isn't it?
When it fits.
C word. Rapper and actress Queen Latifah has been arrested on DUI charges.
Oh, poor baby.
The California Highway Patrol says she was driving her 2003 Cadillac Escalade on the 101 freeway in North Hollywood.
Oh, baby. Watch out, baby.
When she was pulled over for making an unsafe lane change. They say she failed the sobriety test. It happened early this morning, very early this morning. She was taken to a police station for booking.
It was an anal test.
Just one moment, Ms. Latifah.
And I'm sorry, you're loaded.
Michael Jackson is apologizing for dangling his baby outside a fourth-floor balcony railing. A scary video of him doing that aired on American and German television yesterday.
I was just trying to have fun. It's not a baby. It's more like a puppet.
Michael was in Berlin to get an award.
When you had that story yesterday, right. We looked at the picture
right.
That somebody brought from CNN.com. I think you said yesterday, Buzz.
The video.
You got to see the video.
Yeah, the videotape.
And I saw the video, and it's creepy, man.
Yeah. You know, because he doesn't have the greatest of holds on the kid to start with.
He's not a strong man.
No, he's a frail man, and he's like, you know, he's going to drop the kid. And, of course, he's got the towel over the kid's head.
Unbelievable. Now Jackson says he made a terrible mistake. He says he got carried away after fans below asked to see his baby boy. Quoting him, I would never intentionally endanger the lives of my children.
You did.
A group called Prevent Child Abuse America criticized the stunt, especially since Jackson at one point used only one arm to hold the boy.
The boy.
What a freak. Man.
He is a freak. He just can't help but step on it either.
Is Philadelphia's Donovan McNabb the victim of a chunky soup curse? The Rams' Kurt Warner did a chunky soup commercial.
What? Let me stop and think about that. You have Terrell Davis.
Right. He was the first one.
And then you have Kurt Warner.
Right.
And Donovan McNabb.
Uh-huh. And Jerome Bettis had leg problems most of the season. He made a chunky soup ad.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Didn't our friend, the announcer for the Eagles, who was on, doesn't he voice over those chunky ads?
Gary Callis, yeah, but he's fine.
Yeah. And nothing's happened to him.
As far as we know. He doesn't play. Now Donovan McNabb's out, and he did the commercial, too. If there is a chunky soup curse, keep your eyes on Brian Urlacher of the Bears and Michael Strahan of the Giants. They're the only two left standing.
I love any commercial with Michael Strahan. Big, gigantic space between his teeth.
Looking out the subway window.
And I've seen, Michael Strahan.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen the one with him.
Yeah. He gives the chunky soup to the guy on the subway.
He's not hurt yet, but there are 6 weeks left on the season.
Mm-hmm.
You know the best Michael Strahan commercial is the one that the NFL does,
mm-hmm.
where he looks himself up on the laptop,
right.
And he looks right at the camera and goes, who's the sack leader in the NFL? and he turns his face. It's Michael Strahan.
He's got that great
mouth. That big, gigantic. I mean, you know, Letterman is sitting at home laughing at this, going, look at the space between that guy's two front teeth.
Lost with rope.
The Victoria's Secret fashion show that stirred up so much dust last year returns with a new edition tonight and with more controversy.
Yeah.
There were complaints to the FCC last year after ABC ran the show. The FCC let the network off the hook, saying that no decency standards were violated.
This little girl had knockers.
So this year, CBS snatched up the show, and it's now being bombarded with complaints from two women's groups and a media watchdog group.
You watched the
Love Snatch.
You watched the Letterman from last night?
Yeah.
You know, and I'm all jacked because not only does he have Heidi Klum on the top 10 list, but I said, Shania's coming out. What the F did she have on?
Well, she had on, like, a hunting vest.
Yeah, and it was like a drag.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, when I see Shania, I want to see Shania like she is on the Country Music Awards or when she does halftime at the ball game.
She's a handsome woman.
She's a handsome woman.
Last night, just dogged out.
She really just wore this, like, this down orange hunting vest and a big hat covering her face.
And the orange was like the orange that you would wear, like Halloween orange.
It's hunting. Yeah. It's a hunting bag.
And, wow. And she had a weird baseball hat on, and she had pants that went like halfway up her thigh. And
then, Letterman says to her at one point, you know, did you have any other jobs? And she goes, yeah, I used to work in the bush. And the audience starts laughing.
She's pulling this crap where...
She goes, what?
What's so funny? Right.
Mm-hmm. And then she busts Letterman, because Letterman's looking at her belly button.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and moral of that story, don't move to Switzerland.
The National Organization for Women.
Because she moved to Switzerland because they don't treat celebrities there the way they do here.
Yeah,
you know, she can...
I wondered.
She can go out and just do things. And
all I get is a real nice smile.
Yeah,
so I abandoned the
celebrity,
the country.
I heard she moved to Switzerland for cheap dentistry.
Yeah, you got to remember that VH1 Behind the Music when they show
forget.
Shania has teeth that look like that guy who wrote the O.J. book,
Michael Strahan,
who was on today. No, I was talking about I forgot the guy's name already.
Fred Keel. You know, and it really, not only did she come out in that outfit to disappoint all of us guys that are out there waiting to see her, but then she pulls that kind of star trip with Letterman, and you notice she didn't get the hand kiss.
Correct. Although,
they broke for commercial.
He kissed her on the cheek when she came out.
Right, right.
I have to overanalyze this.
But Letterman always gives the hand kiss if he likes him. Mm-hmm. He might have given it to her and it wasn't on camera, though, because he came over and thanked her as they were going to commercial.
Maybe so.
But it was a disappointment.
The National Organization for Women, Concerned Women for America, and the Parents Television Council are asking CBS not to air the Victoria's Secret fashion show.
Oh, come on.
They say the show has no purpose other than to overly sexualize women and to boost the network's young male demographics.
Hello.
With the show still on the network scheduled for tonight, even though some affiliates have decided to tape delay it into late night.
Great.
Asses.
Really?
Come on, a bunch of women running around in their underwear. We have that on this show every day.
Well, we got a break, Buzz.
All right.
I'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Smelling their belly button. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
And now tomorrow on the show, what would you eat to win a trip to Las Vegas at $1,000?
It's going
to
stink in here.
Yeah. It's going to be a great show. Plus, sexpert Dr. Patty and girls from Amazing Entertainment demonstrating sexual positions on the sex pillows.
Yeah, special sex pillows.
And Mr. Skims. That's a show. That's what that is.
That's a jam-packed show.
And now again, here is Buzz.
Hi, Donna Mike.
Hi.
On British television today, a controversy over a public autopsy. Despite warnings from the government, the doctor went ahead with the first public postmortem in Britain since the early 19th century.
Hello.
Hello, now I'm going to open the chest cavity.
No, he's not British. He's German.
Hi. Oh, yeah.
Dr. Gunther von Hagens did the cutting today.
What was the name?
Gunther von Hagens.
You couldn't make up a name that good.
Now we're going to open the chest cavity. Yes. Look, I found a license plate.
Kling!
Yes?
You're on British TV, Kling!
Yes, Major Hochstetter, I'm performing a live.
Mr. Bang! Quick! Pull out this! Kling, clink.
Here it is for you, Major Hochstetter. Don't transfer me to the Russian front.
What about his kidneys?
They're in very bad shape. That's why he's dead, Major Hochstetter.
Give me the heart, Kling.
Here it is. Have a good time.
Here's. The organs from the body were passed around the audience of 500 people that paid $19 a head to get in and see the autopsy.
Hey, here's a joke. Hey, clink.
Yes, Major Hochstetter.
Click.
That came from inside the body.
That's your friend, Clink. Rob Beewer.
Yes, a good German officer.
Click.
Anyway.
In
sports, Danny Werfel's once again the starting quarterback for the Washington Redskins.
Yeah, okay, there you go, right? That's outstanding. I would just tell all the guys, if I had any balls, Buzz, I swear to God I said this on the air.
Okay.
If I had any balls, I would wear my Rams jersey to the game this weekend.
Yeah.
I'd really like to see him do well, because if he did well, maybe he could last the rest of the season. He'd be the starting quarterback next year, and then he could get his new restaurant, the Werfel House. I'm sorry. My sincere apologies.
No, don't apologize. Click, click, click.
Have some great pancakes at the Werfel House.
Finally.
Click, click, click.
Today's show weatherman Al Roker, as you may have heard, has lost 100 pounds. Waist size, 14 inches smaller.
Evidently cheated, Buzz.
Jacket now, 10 sizes smaller. Well, he got a little help, yes.
Yeah, I'm thinking about going to that kind of cheating.
And that thing to make his stomach the size of
size of an egg now.
Size of an egg.
And now he's staring at the business end of the holiday known as Thanksgiving. Quoting a friend, Al's threatening to pig out for old time's sake. But the stomach stapling that reduced him from the size of a football to the size of an egg could also cause diarrhea and vomiting if he tries to eat like other people on Thanksgiving. Roker says he's already suffered the diarrhea after a barbecuing segment on the Today Show.
Wow.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
No. Thank you, Buzz.
I'm Katie Couric,
and I'm Matt Lauer,
and I'm Ann Curry, and Al is man in his pants.
It's me, Katie.
That's it. See you tomorrow. What would you eat?
Yeah.
Skin, sex, the positions.
Hey, it's a carnival.
See you then. Good day to you, sir.
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 Hey, can you?
Hey, look at my cook.
P.M. Eaters.
So we meet again. Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind. Be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.